Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino getting you set up for our Big Brother 19 finale coverage. Taryn Armstrong and Brent Wolgamott are going to talk about everything from tonight's Big Brother 19 finale. I am going to be at the CBS lot to be there in person for the Big Brother 19 finale. I will be getting exit interviews with all of the Big Brother 19 players that you will hear in this very podcast feed and on our YouTube channel. Make sure you don't miss any of that when you subscribe. robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. In addition, we have everything going on with the Survivor preseason as we are with less than 1 week to go until the Survivor 35 premiere. So be on the lookout for that. Nicole and I did our Survivor 35 cast preview on Tuesday night. What we did is we put that out in our Patreon feed as our weekly patron cast that we do for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. We have made that podcast available for free since I've always done it in the regular feed, but we just have so much in the feed right now that I was afraid it was going to get lost in the shuffle. You can listen to that completely for free when you go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Nicole and I go through all of the tribes from the new Survivor season to make our picks for the winners. That's at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Hope you enjoyed the Big Brother finale. Here's Taryn and Brent with our recap podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, filling in for Rob. He's in the backyard as we speak, interviewing these nonsense people. We just watched the Big Brother 19 finale, coming off of a Josh victory. Big news of the night is that I have, in fact, finally lost a draft. It happened. No. I never thought this day would come, Brent.
You know, I have to say that Madeline Ashton in Death Becomes Her said it best. These are the days that make life worth living. I mean, I got everything I wanted tonight. I won the draft. Josh beats Paul 5-4 with Cody's key coming out of the box last. Cody wins America's Favorite House Guest. Alex does not get into the top three for America's Favorite House Guest. Instead, it was Whistlenut, who you said I was crazy for promoting. I am so full of myself. I'm bursting right now. How y'all doing?
We're doing great, Brent. Also joining me today is my psychology expert, John Krause. How you doing, John?
I'm doing good, although I don't want you to expect too much from me when it comes from psychology tonight, because I really have no idea what the hell happened. But I'm excited to be here. And for those of you watching this in the future who aren't seeing this on the video feed, Brent is wearing a lovely sequin number. It is kind of the anti-veil. I'm expecting him to do lots of shimmying tonight, and I hope a top hat comes out later.
Yeah, if you don't watch these videos, you really are missing out on so much. But we are here to talk about the Big Brother 19 finale. It's our final episode recap of the season, and wow, there's a lot to talk about. This was a pretty crazy finale. Starting off, we, as Brent mentioned, we saw this 5-4 vote. Who saw this coming? I guess a lot of people, but still.
I just want to say that I got the receipts from our roundtable on Monday, and I had the votes 5-4 for Josh to win. Girl, bye.
Did you have the right people?
I had 4 out of 5 of the right people.
Oh, okay.
I had Kevin as being so, he was always such a follower, so I thought that he would be the 5th vote for Josh to win, and that Alex would eventually come around to voting for Paul to win, but I could not have predicted the amount of bitterness that is emanating from one Alex Owl right now, Taryn.
Oh, man. Yeah, the amount of bitterness in this episode was pretty absurd. Certainly one of the most bitter juries I think we've ever seen on the show. But Julie reads these votes. The questioning was crazy. John, were you expecting this level of bitterness out of these jury members?
Honestly, I wasn't. And I know that I was in the minority. Certainly Brent was leading the charge. But a lot of people on Twitter were saying, oh, this is going to be a really bitter jury. This is going to be a really bitter jury. But for weeks now, I've been saying there's no way. Once they have time to sort of cool off, they're going to realize they were always in Paul's pocket. They all clearly were Paul fans, even up to and including the Dr. Will segment that we got to on the show tonight. They were all talking about how Paul ran the game, and some of them seemed like they were coming around. I did expect Alex to be bitter just because we'd seen during like the finger painting exercise, just how angry she was. But I really am still quite shocked at this result with 5-4. And it seems like several of those votes are against Paul and not necessarily for Josh. They were quite bitter.
Oh, certainly. So, I mean, we talked about this a lot this morning, where we went through Paul's entire game and, we came to the conclusion, like, what's going to happen here? If Paul loses, is it going to be his fault? We outlined many scenarios where, he could have played a lot better and he maybe made a lot of mistakes. But we also considered the idea of maybe it wouldn't be that much, his fault if maybe it's, Raven and Matt that turned the jury against him. Brent, I think it's pretty clear from watching the jury segment that, Paul is completely at fault here.
Paul is 100% at fault. I am not laying any of the blame for Paul's loss at the feet of Matt and Raven. If anything, I thought maybe Dr. Will was actually doing Paul a bit of a disservice by really trying to goad the people to admit that they were bitter. And I feel like they may have even felt that Dr. Will was trying to lead them to a Paul win. I don't know. That was just my general read on the situation. But the thing that came through loud and clear was that, you know what, John, I hear what you're saying about the fact that you thought these people would have cooled off, but honey, that's the problem. They never got a chance to be bitter in the first place. Paul never told them the truth in the house or in the goodbye messages. He never owned it. So they were on an ascending track as far as their anger goes. They were, you know, when they went to the jury house, they weren't that angry. As Taryn pointed out on the live feed update earlier today, they were all saying, I'm going to vote for Paul. But then when they got to the jury and they realized just how hard that they had been played and that Paul continued to not only lie in his goodbye messages, but also try to control certain things that the jury members were saying in the jury, I feel like that really, really was a disservice to him. He had a chance to win this game and he just, against all odds, you guys, he blew it. Wow.
Yeah. And it's the same thing he did last time. He lost by the exact same amount of votes last time. And due to his own negligence, he lost Natalie. He lost Devon with using the same exact tactic. I tweeted this out, but like, Paul, do you understand what the definition of insanity is? Why are you trying the exact same thing? I really feel like when we look back at Paul's game, it's going to be the story of just like, dude, why didn't you watch your own damn season? You could have easily won. You just needed one vote. Just any amount of Big Brother knowledge could have helped him immensely. And I think we saw that with Josh. Josh knew, for as bad as Josh was throughout the game, and I don't think he did particularly well during the questioning, but at least Josh knew to own his game, because any viewer of the show knows you need to own your game, right, John?
Yeah, we even saw that right at the finale when they all came out and they had announced the winners and the confetti was going everywhere. Julie said, Paul, always the bridesmaid, where do you think you went wrong? And Paul was just like, I don't know. And then she was like, why do you think they voted the way that they did? And he was like, I've never seen the show before. I have no idea. Like it just came out right there. He's never seen the show before. And I guess we have to sort of give him some kudos for learning as well as he did and doing as well as he did two times, having total like no knowledge whatsoever. But I have to agree that if he had watched even a little bit, who knows what he knows about what goes on in the jury house. He may not know about the fact that they get sort of coached by Dr. Will. He may not understand what they do and they don't see and whether or not they see all of the goodbye messages. He may never know those things.
Yeah, I thought that was the most telling and accurate thing that he said all night long. And I don't think he even meant it this way. But when Julie asked him, like, what did you do? He was like, I don't know. You guys watched it. I didn't. Like, you guys know better than I do. And that's miles ahead of where he was at the end of last season, where he thought he knew best. He thought that he didn't make any mistakes. I think this time he's genuinely confused and genuinely feels like, what could I have done? But I think he's now finally realized that maybe he should know better and maybe other people know exactly what he did wrong. Am I wrong, Brent?
I don't think you're wrong. In fact, I think you're right. I also want to quickly point out that for about 30 minutes on tonight's episode, everybody was calling Josh the new Cody Califiori. Like, Cody Califiori is like, I'm going to do something stupid, and Josh is like, here, hold my pant. You know, like, that was what people were tweeting. But then, no, he's not Cody Califiori. He is Ian. He is the Ian of the season. I don't think he had any sort of an Ian game whatsoever, but he knew enough to take the guy to the end who he thought enough people hated. Look, it's another one of these situations where he got to the right result, but for terribly the wrong reasons. The people that he thought were going to vote for him were like Christmas and Raven and Matt. And those are all the people that were definitely voting for Paul. All of the people that Josh could not have predicted, like Cody, Elena, Mark, Alex, those are the people that all voted for Josh to win. It was really an amazing scene. By the way, I never ever promote anything except for Rob as a podcast, but I just want to tell you guys that I turned on my Periscope right as they were just getting ready to announce the votes. And I almost didn't because I was sure I was going to be disappointed. I thought for sure Cody had voted for Paul and it was going to be 5-4 for Paul. I turned on my Periscope just as Julie started to read the votes. And when that last key came out of the box, I don't even know the sounds that emanated from my lungs, Taryn. I mean, I was so freaking happy. I was beside myself. I just couldn't believe that what I had like seen, what I had seen in the first week of the season. I thought Josh could win, and you've been making fun of me, well, or at least acknowledging the fact that I've been buying so much Josh stock along the way. It all came to fruition tonight, and somehow Paul, even though he played this amazing game that we all were somewhat in awe of, and I certainly was at the amount of control he had over the house. The one fly in the ointment was that he never owned his game. That was it. He never owned his game. And the funny part was, even after they all put their keys in the box, I still felt like he couldn't own his game. Like, Julie was showing him Josh's goodbye messages, and he was saying things like, well, I think that's really cowardly. And I'm like, no, Josh was actually pretty honest with the jurors. You were the one who was cowardly by continuing to treat them like your slaves and your children in your goodbye messages when you weren't telling them the truth. So many places where Paul made a wrong turn tonight, but I think it begins and ends with his jury management or lack thereof. Like Elena said when she was casting her vote.
Yeah,
Quickly, I'm sure we're going to go through the whole episode and go through each individual jury vote. But you mentioned a second ago, Brent, Cody, that, you know, you thought that Cody was going to go the other way. And I think that if you rewatch this episode, like once they put it up on CBS, you can see the moment that Cody like changes his vote, because it's the second that Paul opens his mouth after his first question. I think Cody was expecting and hoping for Paul to own his game. Like I was saying all season long, Cody sees Paul as a rival, but like an equal. And what does he hate? He hates victim noises, right? And like that first answer to Paul's first question was just like so bad. And the camera cuts to Cody and he shakes his head. No, he's just like, nope. And then like, I think that was the moment. And I think that was really like sort of the swing vote. So that might've been like the moment that it really all came crashing down.
I will say really quickly that the votes may have well been locked in tonight. I really don't know. That's my general read on the situation, is that the votes were probably locked in coming into tonight, that those five people. But I think if there was one vote he could have gotten, it was definitely Cody's vote. But Paul, just those questions, even though they were community questions, and I always make fun of them, Taryn, they had Paul back on his heels. He was not prepared for questions about bullying tactics, about house targets, about not owning his game, about continuing to play people in the jury house. I mean, he had no answers to any of that. And Josh at least had a little bit of honesty sprinkled with a little bit of heart. And I think that was enough to secure a win.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the thing that we can pinpoint, the thing that really seemed to stand out in all of Paul's questions were, why didn't you own up to it? Why did you continue to lie to us? I think we're going to point to why Paul lost this game, it comes down to that. It comes down to him lying in those goodbye messages, lying all the way up to till Alex leaves the house, not completely owning his game to Alex, to Jason, to all of these people. That is what killed him. But I also think there's a part of it too. I think that Elena and Mark were lost on the bullying aspect. I think that, this was something that I pointed out very early on when, I keep pointing it out, this Mark moment where Paul has already sent Cody home. He's already sent Elena home, and he's still trashing on Cody so much in front of Mark. And Mark is just like, dude, lay off. Why are you doing this? He's out of the game. And Paul just refuses to let go. He's saying, no, Cody is a terrible person and you must agree with me. And
right.
Mark takes that back. And Mark and Elena, I think, are turned by those kinds of tactics.
I really do. You know, something that came through loud and clear tonight, I know that all season long, we've been making fun of the fact that Josh is crying, that he can, you know, dish it out, but he can't take it. But the person who is the biggest crybaby after seeing this finale is Paul. Boy, honey, when things don't go his way, if it's not 100%, if he's getting like 98% of everything he wants, and there's like 2% of things that are going bad, he just can't handle it. I mean, like, I don't know if it's because he's so used to Taryn having total control over the house, and he doesn't know what it's like to be in, like, a regular Big Brother house where people have their own opinions and actually fight for the money in this game. I think he was, you saw loud and clear that he was totally bamboozled by the fact that Josh could even put a few sentences together. Like, watching Paul's face when Josh was answering questions was actually an illuminating moment for me. Paul looked at him like, I just thought you were going to stand up here and sound like a total dumbass. Like, why are you actually making a little bit of sense right now? And I think he was taking a little bit of backbite. Again, I know we're harping on the questions. I do think it was probably locked in coming into this, but I do think there was a way for Paul to get Cody's vote, and he just would not own his game. He couldn't just say, you know what, I had a big advantage coming into this house and I used it. I used everything in my toolbox. Of course I betrayed you guys. I couldn't wait to betray you guys because I wanted to play Big Brother to the fullest that I could. I wanted to get myself to the end. I came here to kick ass. I kicked ass. Give me the money. He never ever said that. He couldn't say that, and that's why he lost.
Yeah, and you know, again, I think this points to the fact that Paul probably was genuinely crying when he talked to Alex. I think that he really just can't handle the truth of what he was actually doing in that house. And I think that he felt like in those questions that he was being genuine, that he did feel like part of him cared, but he was also playing the game hard. I don't think he knew how to own his game in the right way. And I don't think he recognized what he had done with those goodbye messages, which is just, again, terrible gameplay. If you know anything about the game, you know this. Talking about whether the jury is live or not, my read on it was that, like, I felt like going into the vote, they were locked. They had decided, I'm going to vote for Josh. The majority of them were going to vote for Josh. But then when they found out that Josh had taken Paul, I think there was a small part of them that was like, oh my God, maybe I need to second guess this decision. And then again, as John mentioned, the second Paul opened his mouth, they're like, yep, never mind. He sucks. And you can see Mark, like, looking back at, maybe it was somebody behind him, like, as Paul was talking, like, yep, never mind. He sucks. We can't vote for him. I really think that there's a very decent chance that Paul lost the game in this final question.
There were
segment.
Two telling moments there, because when the jury was told that Josh won the final HOH and he chose to take Paul, I even tweeted, I think, like, looking at the jurors' faces, I feel like Josh just lost the game. Like, I mean, I feel like the jurors are like, dude, why didn't you cut Paul? But then, like, about a minute later, it all sort of sank into them, like, you know what? I could vote for Josh. I actually, even though Josh took Paul to the final two and I didn't expect that, I could actually see myself voting for him. I cannot believe where we were even two short weeks ago, Taryn, with Alex drinking the Kool-Aid on the way out of the house, you know, plotting with Paul, you should take Josh to the end, no one will ever vote for Josh to win the game, you know, I'll be in there campaigning for you, and somehow he lost it. It is one of the biggest collapses in reality TV history. Rob Cesternino said it best on the podcast earlier today. I mean, our own Alex Kidwell tweeted out earlier tonight that Josh is the Natalie White, point blank and the period. He's the Natalie White. If you never watched Survivor, Natalie White's the one that beat Russell Hansen his first season when Russell did all the work. And I have to say that I kind of do believe that there's something to that. But Josh made sure that he was likable enough. And in the end, he was what I said he was going to be. For enough people on the jury, he was an idiot, but he was their idiot, and they were okay voting for him.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm no Natalie White apologist, but even Natalie White, I feel like, probably played a little better than Josh did in terms of, like, her social game. She did make at least one move. She killed a rat. you know, lots of things there. But this really reminded me of the whole Paul and Alex situation, again, of Survivor. Chris Daughtry in season 9, I mean, I guess barely anybody's going to remember this, especially if you're a Big Brother fan.
But no, I remember it.
Basically,
yeah.
How dare you? Sarge, a great season. Everyone loves
Sarge,
it.
Sarge is questioning Chris because they were friends, and Chris had essentially turned his back on Sarge. And Sarge is saying, like, if we were friends, like, if what you're saying is true and we're genuinely friends, then I'm going to vote against you and we can be friends afterward. And that's basically what Alex said when she cast her vote. And what Chris did was completely own his game. He had one of the the best Final Tribal performances of all time. And what he was like, dude, we are friends. Please vote against me because it doesn't matter what how you vote. Like, we're going to be friends forever. And Sarge goes up and he casts his vote and he's like, dude, you passed the test. Like, I got to vote for you. We see nothing of that with Paul. Paul is denying, pretending like, no, our friendship was real, but I obviously I'm not going to throw myself on the third. Blah, 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 blah. It's just all nonsense. And
he sounded like a politician.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought his speech was freaking terrible, John. I mean, in fact, I didn't even understand it. He tried to pack everything in that he wanted to, and I think he actually managed to do that. I kept waiting for Julie to cut him off, but he managed to pack in everything that he was practicing into that speech. But in order to do so, it sounded like a politician. It sounded rehearsed. It sounded memorized. And I didn't even get half of what he meant. But even though Josh stumbled during his speech and definitely had a moment where I was like grasping the arm of my chair going, girl, keep it together. I felt like he showed enough heart there to be able to, you know, you have to be a viable enough alternative for somebody to put your key in the box. And Josh was that. And I'm just so happy, you guys. Like, I can't even contain my excitement right now. I mean, Paul just made it so hard for me to like him. I said on the round table, the live feeds update earlier today, that going through Paul's game, that I would have been happy enough with a Paul win, but I was lying to y'all. Like, I really didn't want Paul to win, and I'm glad I didn't have to see it happen.
Yeah, yes, you know, you
go ahead.
Sorry, I'm just to answer sort of what we were talking about. Like, here's speech, like public speaking, right? It has to be a balance. You need to rehearse and you need to make sure that you know what you're talking about and that you look like you know what you're talking about. Confidence is very important, but the human brain does not like it when it sounds too rehearsed because it starts to sound fake. There needs to be a certain amount of genuineness in there. And like, if we look on paper at the actual content of those final speeches, Josh's speech was really, really bad. At least I think so. But, and then he fumbled, like he completely stopped there. But I think in that moment where he fumbled and lost himself and he had to say he was sorry and that he was so nervous, I think that's a moment where the jury kind of connected with him and they felt an emotional connection. And, it's hard sometimes when we like to be overly analytical of these things, but in real life and real human interaction, sometimes human connection matters more than the actual text of what you're saying, which is why I like what Brent is saying about sounding like a politician. You have to really toe that line between well-rehearsed and confident, but actually sounding like a human talking to another human being.
Yes.
And you know what else happened too, is that right before the jurors put their keys in the box, after the jury questioning, and then they went to commercial break, and then they came back, and then they let them do their final speeches, and they voted, Paul was such a bitter baby. I mean, he was just shaking his head, and the jurors are there. They can see that. They're watching you the entire time. I mean, you could see that Paul was just rejecting everything that the jurors had to say to him, that he wasn't owning his game, and if ever there was a moment for him to grab a vote from those five people, he lost it. If he didn't lose it before during the questions, he definitely lost it with his attitude toward the jury going into the commercial break. And then his final two speech was just, it was like, as Miranda Priestley would say in The Devil Wears Prada, I'm quoting Meryl Streep tonight, by the way, if you haven't figured out, disaster, just utter disaster.
Yeah. And I think if we're going to look back and again, point to like, where did Paul go wrong? I think there's three major points that we can point to. Lying in the goodbye messages, not owning his game to Alex and basically anyone that left. That is obviously a huge part of it. I think cutting Raven. Raven was the perfect final two go. If he had taken down to the end, I think he would have beat her. And then three, again, like trash talking when there was no need to. Cody was out of the house. He's still trash talking Cody. I think that's going to leave hard feelings. And I think that those three things are the reason. If he had changed any one of those three things, I think he probably wins. He probably picks up at least one vote, but he doesn't. And so he loses. And I think, again, I think this is a story of how Paul lost Big Brother 19. So with that said, where do we think Josh stands in all of this? Do we think that, I mean, we talked about Josh on Tuesday. We said probably, and we talked about him on the roundtable on Monday. We said probably not very high on the placement of winner rankings here. There wasn't a whole lot that Josh did to warrant the win apart from just be the biggest goat. John, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you know, I subscribe to the idea of if you're looking at any given move and you want to analyze it, you know, does this move get them closer to winning or does it get them farther away from winning? And there's just not a lot of times in this season when Josh really took that bull by the horns. Yes, he won a few HOHs. Yes, he dallied with the idea of kind of going against Paul and targeting other people. But really, there's very little that he did to proactively get himself sort of farther to the end. A lot of those things sort of happened around him. Dr. Will even brought up how this is really a game of pairs and how Paul had final threes with everybody. And I think Josh and Christmas both benefited by being just sort of the pair that Paul ultimately ended up picking over someone like Matt and Raven. Like you're saying, like that would have been maybe even a better slam dunk for him. So I really think that's a couple of knocks against Josh. Josh was also, you know, he wasn't like this great under the radar player. He was targeted a lot. He was targeted early in the game. He was, you know, Jessica's target. She wanted him to go home, and it was through no doing of his own that he ended up being saved. Paul was like, we're going to save you this week. Just lay low, cry a lot.
He managed to obey right there. Paul's orders, if that's what you're going to say.
I'm going to lay out a couple things for you guys. Number one, you know what? He was willing to go for that apple during week one. I'm sorry I'm going to bring that up, because if he doesn't do that, he's likely evicted when Cody has to nominate half the house, and Josh certainly would have been one of those people. So he,
because his social game was bad.
Well, that's okay, but he knew what he needed to do. He's like, you know what? I might be in trouble here. I need to go for this damn apple. And he did it. That moved himself forward in the game. Then moving on, he managed to listen to Christmas and calm down enough where he actually was able to fade back into the house a little bit. Going forward to the week where Jessica won HOH, you know what? He was devastated that he was going to be targeted by Jessica and Cody, and the house might have been able to vote him out there. But for Paul saving him, Josh knew that if he listened to Paul and did exactly what he was told and behaved exactly like Paul made him do, and that is not easy. I am sorry. To act that sad and not give it away for an entire week. There have been other people in the past who have tried to do this and failed. Josh was successful at that. I know we hated watching it because he was, you know, I thought he was laying it on a little thick. In the diary room, he was doing a lot of the ta-da kind of things, you know. But he was able to do that, and I thought it ingratiated himself with Paul enough where Paul was like, you know what? You'll do exactly everything that I tell you to do. Everything I tell you to do. Not only that, you'll even use the next week when the hex came up and Paul's like, okay, dude, you know, you need to turn it up to 30. Josh instantly goes, grabs the pots and pans, goes to Jess and Cody. And you know what? He showed himself to be someone who was willing to take orders. And I know that Paul was the one who selected Josh to go to the end because, you know, that was the weakest people. Him and Christmas were the weakest pair that there was to go against. But at least Josh recognized that. Josh recognized that from like back at final seven. Like Paul doesn't want to go to the end with Alex and Jason. Paul doesn't want to go to the end with Matt and Raven. Paul wants to go to the end with me and Christmas. And I think that there were what?
That's where I'm going to have to stop you, because I feel like Josh was loyal to Paul and Christmas. He thought that Paul was more loyal to Alex, and he thought that Paul was going to betray them to go with Alex, but the only reason he stuck with Paul was because he was loyal.
I think that he was afraid that Paul was balancing his chips a little bit too much. Don't you? I mean, I felt like that was Josh's big issue with that week, was when Whistle went home, Paul was trying to put himself as the guy with the white hat and making Josh and Christmas look like the guys with the black hat. And that's where I feel like Josh had a problem with Paul. That's where Josh's discontent with Paul began. That was the first week where he started leaving the truth bombs in the goodbye messages. And I guess that I can agree with you that Josh wasn't exactly sure if Paul had their total loyalty, because he was trying to talk to Christmas. Like, you know, we may want to at least acknowledge the fact that Paul might be playing us here. But in the end, he was correct. Paul was more loyal to Josh and Christmas more than anything else. And Josh at least didn't do anything to upset that balance.
But yeah, like, let's not pretend that Josh knew what, like, Josh would have gone against this if not for Christmas. Christmas was the one holding him in line the entire time, telling him, no, you need to stay loyal. Like, Paul is loyal to us. If Josh had not had Christmas there, he absolutely 100% believed that Paul was going to betray them.
Well, at least that makes him a good game player then. If he recognizes, you know what, I'd like to make this move, but if I make this move, Paul is mad at me, Christmas will be mad at me, I'll literally have no one in the game at that point. So at least I need to stay my hand here, even though, because he could have voted against Kevin and saved Whistle. He even thought about it, and he decided not to for his game.
Deciding not to do a terrible move
ultimately,
is not like...
It's really...
I'm just saying. Like, look, I'm trying to put lipstick on a pig. What are y'all doing? Okay.
Yeah, he's so like he. I think that really what we can agree on is that he was a very inconsistent player. I will completely concede that he did have certain moves. And while I think that social game is probably more important, I will agree with you, Brent, that grabbing that apple was the right move in that moment because of the situation he put himself in. I think that his jury management was definitely better. I think that ultimately, even though we've been thinking it was crazy all season long, I think taking Paul to the end was the better decision in that final two than taking Christmas. So like, there's definitely good things in there. But the frustrating thing with watching Paul all season was just how inconsistent he has been, because he wanted to be good at jury management, but then he would harangue and harass house guests, you know, all season long. Like, the pots and pans thing has become a joke, but like, he was being horrific to a lot of those different house guests in there, and they really didn't like him for a large part of the season.
Here's the thing. I'm just trying to say this. I'm not trying to say Josh was a mastermind, that he knew exactly where all the pieces on the game board were at any time. Obviously, that's not true. I'm just trying to acknowledge that there are certain things that Josh did more than, like, say, you know, I'm just
Raven.
Picking a random person like Jordan. I mean, who that moved himself further ahead in the game, and he was at least somewhat aware of where his position was in the game. He, you know, I know that we make fun of the fact that he, you know, constantly thought about going against Paul and never did, but at least he was aware enough to recognize that, you know what, something's going on with Paul and nobody else did. And I don't know, in the end, I would like to ask Josh, I hope Rob asks him, you know, what made you decide to take Paul to the end of the game? I mean, I feel like it was more the vet thing. He thought that the jury didn't want to vote for a vet, but that's not my read on the situation. It just seems like Josh arrived at a somewhat correct result based on faulty logic, but at least in the end it worked.
Well,
I mean, that's what I can say.
We saw him say that, you know, he was thinking he was going to cut Paul until Paul came to him with a really good case, and that he believed
which
what
was
Paul
terrible.
Was saying. And that ultimately the reason why he takes Paul is because he thinks, all right, I'll have Raven and Matt and Christmas, and Christmas will have all of these people against me, and so I can't take Christmas. I need to take Paul. So, as much as it was the correct decision to take Paul potentially, certainly not for correct reasoning. And I think that's what the entirety of Josh's game is. I think there are some things on occasion that Josh did either correctly or not incorrectly. He was certainly a better player than Raven. He was certainly not the worst winner of all time. There's at least one or two that are worse than him. So I do think that, like, the acting job that he did during that Jessica HOH week was pretty good. That said, he completely trusted that Paul was going to protect him no matter what, which was absolutely not the case. Jessica came in incredibly close to replacing Ramses on that block, which would have sent Josh home right then and there, which is really the story of Josh's game. He didn't have a lot of a power or ability to control his own fate. He really just ended up getting dragged over to the end. It worked out for him. And I do think that, again, the fact that he was a fan of the game, that he knew certain things, especially that Paul didn't know, I think end up being part of the reason why he ends up making it further. He's able to, I mean, he knows what it looks like to fake being dead in this game. You blanket. That's what you do. He knows what to say to the jury. Like, he knows that he needs to own his game. He knows that he needs to let the jury know ahead of time what his game is in those goodbye messages. I think that's another good part of Josh's game. I think he probably wins regardless of the goodbye messages, but I still think it was a good attempt and a good move to make.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. I can't say definitively that he wins regardless of leaving those truth bombs in the goodbye messages, because that's really what got a lot of those people talking, or at least asking questions. I don't know that left to their own devices, people like Raven and Matt would have exposed what really happened if not for questions that were coming from the fact that of those seeds left in the goodbye messages. I mean, maybe they would have talked about that, or maybe they wouldn't have. I don't know. What are you laughing at right now? I see you laughing at me.
The chat saying Will is doing his interview with Cameron right now, and he called him Glenn.
I mean, let's look at the one juror who didn't get to see any goodbye messages and see what their jury question was like, right? Christmas's jury question was completely irrelevant to anything. And I think that's because, I mean, that speaks to the idea that without, I think, Josh giving a little bit of that push, that those conversations maybe would not have happened. And I also do think that that idea of him being a super fan, having some insight, I think that kind of does give him the push. I'm sure that in the off season, we'll do like another winner's ranking and see exactly where Josh fits into this. But I think that it's easy to see him going into the middle of the pack. I do not think that he's the worst winner ever. I don't want to come off as someone who absolutely hates everything that Josh has done. I do think he's had a lot of insight, but I can't see him being any higher than sort of the middle of the pack.
I mean, I would have put Paul in the middle of the pack, so I think Josh is probably going to go a bit further down for me. But yeah,
you know what? Look, can I just quickly bring up something that I always like to bring up? And you know, everybody has their place in the live feed correspondence, and this is my place. You know what, Josh did something that a lot of other people who are winners of the show didn't do. And that's, you know what? He gave us great TV. He gave us great feeds. He was never boring. He knew that he was playing on a TV show. It's not a game that takes place in a vacuum. He did things that made himself a bigger target. He played his balls out of this game. I mean, like, there was never a moment in time where I felt like Josh wasn't 100% invested in winning. And you know what? I would like to think if I was on a show like this that I would play very much like that. I would probably be very, very messy with how I play the game. Josh was very messy. I think that I would think I know everything and that, you know, in behind the scenes, I really don't know everything that's happening. But I would appreciate the experience 100% and show the people on the jury if I got there that I appreciated the opportunity to play. And Josh, he managed to become a winner who won the game against a formidable Final Two opponent, and he was never boring on the way to get there. I think that says something on a game show that takes place on television.
Yeah,
that's a really great point on a cast like this, too, where we had so many people who just laid down and died, so many people who didn't really care, so many people who just wanted to make jury, even up until, you know, yesterday when Christmas was basically telling both Paul and Josh to shake each other. Like, she really, really laid down and died, despite what the edit on the TV show showed tonight. So, yeah, I definitely will give Josh a lot of credit for always giving us something to talk about, always give us something to watch, and always pushing and trying, and not just only handing the game to Paul.
Yeah, as much as I'm saying that I think Josh is potentially one of the worst winners strategically, I am always super happy to see a super fan of the game win. I mean, watching Josh break down when the votes are read, that's a great moment. Like, I don't care who you're a fan of. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of fans that enjoyed Paul breaking down even more. But I enjoyed watching Josh break down as he won this game. It means so much to him. It's going to mean so much to his family, who is just affected by the hurricane. I think this is, like, on a human level, a really great outcome. And certainly, after Paul's behavior, it's like, I don't think it would have been nearly as humanly good to see Paul win the game.
It was really great. I mean, there have been basically three times in the history of watching Big Brother for me where I have just been besides myself. And it was during Big Brother 13 when Rachel won and Shelley voted for Rachel to win. I've watched that moment 1,000 times and I just love it to death. Obviously, Big Brother 17 when Steve cuts Vanessa and he gets that vote from Jackie at the end to win the game and just, like, you know, collapses in the chair. And then this season, I thought for sure that Cody was going to vote for Paul to win because Cody had said previously, you know what, if you all let Paul to get to the end, I'm going to vote for Paul to win. He walked up to the jury box and he said, I'm going to keep my word. I did feel better about it because he looked at Mark when he said, I'm keeping my word. So I felt like, okay, there might be something there where Cody, Mark, and Elena are all voting as a block. But I was really, really nervous about it. I'm so glad to see that Josh is a super fan and he wins Big Brother. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than this, you guys.
Yes. All right. So let's go over some of this episode. We start off with the HOH competitions. We see part one. Christmas very upset about losing. And I think this speaks to Christmas, like her entire attitude throughout the game, which was like she just felt so useless. And I think she really genuinely did want to win these competitions and make her way to the final two. As much as she didn't care about winning, I think it meant way more to her to, like, be able to get herself there. And I think her failure in these competitions is why we ultimately saw her telling Josh and Paul, don't take me. I didn't earn my spot here. Don't take me there. I really feel like that's where this came from. Do you agree, Brent?
Yes, I 100% agree. I think that she thought she had a chance to win part one. And I think maybe she didn't think she could win part two. But I think maybe after Josh took a long time. And by the way, honey, an hour and 32 minutes is the winning time, Jonathan Krauss. Are you kidding me? An hour yeah. and 32 minutes? I mean, whatever, I guess. I mean, she did it in less or in more time than Josh took. So that's why she didn't win. I do agree with you, Taryn, that her inability to win either one of those competitions, I think, really hit her. I think she sort of acknowledged to us on the live feeds, you know, anybody else with my injury might have quit, which I don't necessarily agree with. But she's like, does that make me exceptional or does that just make me someone who was carried to the end? After losing these two competitions, I think it finally hit her. Yeah, Paul just probably took me to the end because I couldn't really compete in anything. And it was definitely a rude awakening for her.
Yeah. And
definitely just the idea that she is such a physical person, right? And this injury is something that she's been dealing with all summer long. But maybe because of everything going on in the house, she's been able to not really think about it too much. She got to win a competition that everyone threw to her. But maybe she was kind of telling herself like, hey, I won a competition. But I think that once it was the final three and there was no more pretenses or throwing or alliances, I think that she had probably told herself, okay, now it's time for me to put my physicality to the test again. And that was probably the first time that she really confronted, like, how physical can I be after this summer that was pretty devastating to her body. And I think it was very hard for her to realize that she didn't sort of have what it takes. And it's really frustrating as someone who's always wanted to be on a show like this to see people really kind of let it go and say, you don't have to take me to the end. So I am going to kind of chastise her for that a little bit. But if you really take her entire summer into perspective, I think that psychologically that was probably very hard for her to deal with. And I think we can understand why she would get to that point where she would be just like, OK, I didn't earn this.
Yeah, I guess, but I'm not going to excuse that. I mean, like, Taryn, for real, Christmas shot herself in her injured foot for losing at least $50,000, possibly $500,000, by her continued inability to, like, play the game a little bit more and tell Josh what he needed to hear. I swear to God that the worst moment of the season was Josh going up to Christmas saying, you know, are you going to take me to the final two? And then she doesn't answer, and he's like, well, I'm going to take you. And she's like, well, I really don't want to have to make that decision. That was the first time, because up until there, Josh would have taken her to the end no matter what. I mean, Christmas was his ride or die. And then it hit him that Christmas isn't going to take me to the final two. I mean, like, I'm by myself. I mean, no one is my ride or die anymore. Of course, Paul would have taken him to the end. But Josh was just, he was so flummoxed and so heartbroken. And I throw major shade at Christmas for not even seeing or being, or even wanting to see that in that conversation with Josh. I mean, it was written all over his face how heartbroken he was. She should have quickly backpedaled and said, yeah, you know, of course I'm going to take you to the final two, or done something. But she totally just quit. She didn't care anymore. She played a couple competitions. It's ironic that the girl who voted for a vote instead of a competition in the first episode of this season is the person at the end who, you know, doesn't win a couple competition. And she's like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to give up now. And I was hoping that Julie would call her a little bit more to the carpet. Julie did a little bit, but then she kind of smoothed it over and didn't really give us what we wanted. I hope that Rob really holds her feet to the fire on that quit. It was a quit, plain and simple.
You know, haven't her feet been through enough?
Yes.
Julie also talked about, like, man, if you hadn't broken that foot, don't you think you would play differently? Like, maybe if you came back again? I feel like there was way too much hinting about that than I'm comfortable with. But yeah, we're also getting some breaking news from the chat. Apparently, Dr. Will is in fact better than Jeff Schroeder. Who knew?
Yes. Yeah. Now, Dr. Will is interviewing the people in the backyard live on Big Brother's Facebook page, I think. Right now, Rob is also interviewing. I think he was interviewing Julie Chen a minute or two ago, but that is not live, correct? Rob is not interviewing people live because people have been asking about that, Taryn.
Rob will get those out as soon as possible. So keep on the lookout for that. I'm sure he'll tweet it out. It'll be up on Rob Has a Website. For as great as Dr. Will is, Rob is asking your questions, everyone. You sent him those questions. And you know, I love the way, like, you know, Dr. Will, he's very outwardly snarky, but Rob, you know, he does those inside jokes that people don't even realize that he's making fun of them. And I really enjoy those. So looking forward to Rob's stuff. But moving on to, I mean, we talked about this part two. I mean, John, did you like this part two competition? This was like the most boring part two of the final three HOH competition I think I've seen. There was no action to it. It took them over an hour and a half. Like, what was this?
Yeah, I really don't even know where to begin with this. I mean, let's talk about the theme, first of all. I can sort of see how the knights and the castles kind of fits with the unicorns, but how does that fit with, like, the theme of the whole season? It's like, what are they thinking of? But then, yeah, like, it's not a very kinetically, there's not a lot of action on the screen. Like, yes, they're shooting projectiles, but it doesn't look very visually exciting. And the fact that it took so long, like, it made it feel extra boring. And it could have been just me, but I feel like there wasn't even really, like, any music. Like, they could have been playing some exciting music and sound effects, but it was just kind of like a quiet scene. And it was like a good 15-20 minutes of the episode of just Christmas and then Josh not knowing stuff. And then, you know, I don't mean to like sound cocky or anything, but I didn't even think that those questions were very hard. I don't think that shooting a slingshot seems very hard. So I don't even know why it took them combined 3+ hours to get the whole thing done. The entire thing was just a mess, sort of from top to bottom. And again, I like to give credit when it's like, we like to see new competitions. Like, it's fun that they try to mix things up. Sometimes they don't really hit the mark. And I don't think that this one hit the mark, aside from all of the, you know, the balls that hit Mark in the face during the competition.
Right. The only thing that I liked about this competition was the fact that they had to use different weapons to do different things. I thought that was an interesting take. Like, you know, well, you have to use the crossbow and you have to use the slingshot and, you know, there's a gun here. I mean, like, I thought that was very interesting. It could have been fun, but I didn't even like the fact that there was sort of like a loophole in the competition that I think you figured out as you went along. Like, if you make a mistake, like if you're trying to hit Jillian, but Cody's in front of her and you're trying to knock Jillian down, it doesn't matter if you knock Cody down. Just knock him down and then knock Jillian down and then just go down to Cody and pick him back up again. That's all you have to do and then run over and hit the buzzer. I just think that it was probably a competition that wasn't one of Heath's best.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were very clearly just like proud of the setup. Like, there were so many swooping shots of that castle, but it really was like all aesthetic and no content there. You know, thumbs down there.
Very, very little of the setup actually was used in the game, right? They built an entire freaking castle and it was just like a thing that they stood on, and then the actual playing field was just a couple of those cardboard cutouts, which were probably right. You know, reused from the superhero competition, just redressed a little bit.
Yes. So we get a little bit of the final three talking to the cameras. Paul saying he's feeling like Josh is definitely going to pull him to final two. He's pretty confident he's going to beat Josh. He's basically saying, I'm one competition away from winning the game. Christmas is saying, as Brent mentioned, she's upset that she couldn't win the competitions. She feels like she might be a little useless in this game. And Josh is talking about, this has been my dream since I was 14, but I need to decide who am I going to take? And we ultimately see him take Paul. Then we get into the jury roundtable, and this was pretty crazy, Brent.
It really was. I really need to watch other jury roundtables because, I mean, the Matt versus Mark opening to the roundtable was a thing of beauty. It was really amazing, the amount of discontent and almost outright hatred that some of these people have for each other. I mean, they're so tired of listening to these people's delusions. I think that they just couldn't take it anymore. I am so wondering, like, you know, if Paul had taken Raven to the final two, how would that have looked? I think he wins in a walk, but of course he's never going to acknowledge things like this. I think he could never have foreseen it, but they were so poisonous in the jury house. And like I said, even before, I don't know if you guys agree with me on this, I don't think Dr. Will did Will any favor, or Dr. Will, I don't think Dr. Will did Paul any favors. I felt like there was a little bit of like trying to lead the horse to water, and it seemed like the horse didn't want to drink, Jonathan. I mean, I felt like he was trying to lead them to, you need to vote for the best player, and the best player is who? Paul. And
there was definitely a lot of sort of loaded questions.
Yes,
I kind
very
of thought
loaded.
That he was being condescending, which as a viewer, I enjoy. That's what we love about Dr. Will. I think that's why they put him on the show, is sort of his condescending in your face, make fun of you humor. But this jury, I don't think was feeling it. I don't think that they liked that he was making them feel dumb, because he was basically calling them dumb to their faces, because it was like, hey, you know who played the game. You know that you all lied. You can't, you know, fault Paul for that, basically. And I think that, yeah, I you know, as much as any one person can influence other people, I can see how some of them may have walked away being like annoyed by how Dr. Will was pushing
Yeah, Taryn, what do you think about that?
I definitely picked up on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about, like, could Dr. Will come in here and, you know, get the jury swayed away from Paul or, like, against Paul in any way? I think Dr. Will knows exactly what he's doing. He knows that calling somebody a crybaby is not going to get them to change their view. I think Dr. Will, he's here for, like, Dr. Will, he doesn't care if Paul wins, but he's here to make good TV, so he's going to be as condescending as possible. And I think he knows the outcome, and I think he knows that people who maybe are reading it less into it are going to be like, oh, Dr. Will was such a shill for Paul. He was trying to get Paul to win. I don't think he was trying to get Paul to win. I think he was, if anything, trying to get Paul to lose in the way that he went about that. And I think he knew exactly what he was doing.
I want to give a hat tip to Hamster Watch. You know, they really, really are very careful with what they put out there. I was really, really happy to see that Hamster Watch's little rumor that they had posted on their Twitter page about the entire jury being very bitter with each other, and that Maven was causing a lot of problems in the jury, and that nobody besides Matt and Raven was planning on voting for Paul at this point, and Kevin had not joined the jury at that point. So that rumor was 100% true, and good job on that.
Yes. And I mean, again, there's people like, oh, he was under orders to get Paul the win. He failed. Dr. Will doesn't fail like that. Like, Dr. Will is not dumb. He knows that calling somebody a crybaby is not going to get them on your side. It's just, that's Dr. Will. But yes, Dingo, she got it right.
Thank you. I couldn't remember Hamster Watch's name. Dingo. Yeah. Good job, Dingo.
That's the thing, though. The one point of contention I had with that leak was like, I mean, I can kind of understand this, but Kevin, I just can't understand why Kevin wouldn't vote for Paul. I don't understand why he wouldn't be willing to. I don't see him being bitter. Again, we talked about the wording of it where it was like only Matt and Raven plan on voting for Paul no matter who he sits next to. Maybe Kevin was going to vote for Christmas over Paul. I could easily have seen that. And maybe that's where the wording came in. But yes,
let me ask this question. Based on what we saw from the jury roundtable, do we think that Josh beats Christmas? Because we were all worried that our worst case scenario would be if it's Josh and Christmas at the final two, that Christmas might actually have the votes to win. And I was very worried about that. That's why I was sort of okay with Josh taking Paul to the end, because at least it was going to be Paul or Josh. And I couldn't stand the idea of Christmas winning the game. Taryn, do you think that Josh beats Christmas if he takes her to the end of the game?
It's hard. It's hard to determine, cause they talked a lot of smack about Josh. They talked a decent amount of smack about Christmas. I will say there were a few people that were like, you know, Christmas used her social game. They basically had the perception of her that I was worried they would, where they, it seemed as though they had the perception that she played better than she did. And they obviously weren't aware of the fact that she basically laid down and died. I think they might have gone into that final two thinking, okay, I'll vote for Christmas. But between the final two speeches, the fact that Josh would have cut Paul, I think it would have been more up in the air. But this is definitely the question that I would like to see answered of these jury members. If it had been Josh and Christmas, who would you have voted for? My read on that jury roundtable says I think it might have been Christmas before Josh cuts Paul. And then after Josh cuts Paul in the final two speeches, I think it might have been more up in the air. John, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think, like, who do Matt and Raven vote for? Because they were only going to vote for Paul if he was in that final two. So where does their vote go?
I think,
you know,
they were talking about Christmas pretty highly.
Yeah, so yeah. Maybe they go to Christmas. I can't see Cody ever voting for Christmas, so I could see him still voting for Josh. You know, Mark and Elena, I kind of got the impression that was more of an anti-Paul vote than a pro-Josh vote. So that really is up in the air. But I do think, like, what you're saying is true, that once Josh is the one to cut Paul, if that's the way that it ended up falling, I think that it probably still would have been a Josh win. I think it would have been closer than we would have predicted. But I think that the people who were willing to vote for Josh, and we saw tonight clearly that it was in the realm of their brain's possibility to vote for him, I think him cutting Paul would have maybe pushed them over that hump, and we still would have had like a 5-4, maybe even a 6-3 win for Josh.
Just remember that juries are so unpredictable, because I remember I was aghast when we saw that Josh was thinking about taking Paul to the end after thinking about cutting him all this time, because we saw Josh on TV called Paul, he's a Vanessa, he's a Derek. And what do you do with people like that? You got to get rid of them. You know, you don't want to be Cody Califiori and take the guy who's going to win all the votes to the end. So don't be that guy. And Josh was certainly aware of what Paul was. But then he came around to the idea of, well, you know what? I think I actually could even though, and he told us, the Life Eaters, he's like, guys, I know it sounds crazy, but I think my best opportunity to win the game might actually be to sit against somebody like Paul. And I, you know, was like I said, aghast. But then after a couple of days, I just sort of sat on it a little bit. And I just realized that, you know what, juries are unpredictable, and you just don't know what people's motivations are once they get out of the game. They've lost their chance at $500,000, and they're tasked with voting for somebody else who screwed them over. There's just a lot of unpredictability there, and I still cannot believe, though, that Cody gave Josh the winning vote. I think it's so incredible because, remember, Cody was going to be the one that went out of the house, but Paul insisted that it be Jessica. He wanted Jessica out of the house before Cody, and Jessica would have voted for Paul. And I saw right. that when Jessica said that she would have voted for Paul, Cody did not nod at all. His eyes just sort of like went up a little bit, and he was like, okay.
Whoops.
But I think he was like, I'm gonna have to explain this. But I will say that at the end of the episode, I know that Jessica whispered to him, like, you know, don't worry, even though I would have voted for Paul, America loves you that you gave Josh the winning vote, and everything's gonna be cool. So good to see.
Yeah, she's not gonna fight Paul's battle for
exactly.
But
I also don't think that Cody's gonna lose any sleep over anything.
Oh,
like
no.
He probably will never think about Big Brother ever again. From this moment on.
I don't know about that. You know what? He's been trying to get on a show for a while, and the fact that he's America's favorite player, I mean, I think he was just sort of taken aback by that. Once he sees all the love and support, and I know there's some anti-Cody people out there, so girl bye to you, but I like Cody on my TV screen. It was never boring to me. And I would love seeing him come back with or without Jessica. I thought they were very fun. And once he sees that, I think that sort of adoration and adulation is very addicting. I don't think he's going to disappear.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I think Cody plays it up a little bit. I think he knows his character, and I think he plays into it, and I don't fault him for that. I think it's a great character, the whole, like, I don't care about being here thing. I think a lot of it's genuine, but I think also he knows what that character is. And I do think that he will enjoy the, especially with Jessica by his side, like, they're gonna have fun with this, and I don't fault him for it at all. So talking more about this round two, I mean, John, were you surprised at just like, I mean, again, this was potentially one of the most bitter juries we've ever seen on Big Brother. Were you surprised at like the amount of just like self-righteousness from like Elena and Mark, like these people that we would have thought maybe would be a little cooler headed?
Yeah, it's just really frustrating. The jury segments that we've gotten this season have been interesting for me because on the one hand, they've been very entertaining, and this one is included. I was glued to the TV screen. But it's also been serving as a reminder to me that, like, this has been not my favorite cast for like, a lot of reasons. Like, just seeing these people again, and it's just like, oh, man, you really weren't my favorite either. And, yeah, it's like they haven't really had a lot of self-reflecting time. We know that they've been doing lots of finger painting, and who knows what else they've been doing with their fingers, but they haven't been doing a lot of sitting and just like self-reflecting. So it was really frustrating, especially Mark and Elena being so self-righteous. I'm really kind of a little frustrated with the way that they played this whole thing and their vote. Who would have thought that Mark would have voted for Josh in the end here, you know, after their whole big fight and their love-hate relationship and all these things. We could harp on Matt and Raven for forever, but like that's just so, it's so frustrating to watch. It's funny from a TV perspective, but it's just like, come on. You know, Mark was like, Matt, you didn't do anything this season. And Matt was like, yeah, I know, I'm happy about it. And like deep down inside, you know, he is, you know, that he loves that he did nothing all season. And it just makes me frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that it was very refreshing, honestly, to have a jury that was this bitter. We haven't had a really bitter jury since, like, I would say since Michelle beat Aubrey Bracco. Like, that was the last time where I really looked at a jury and I was like, y'all are bitter. But this jury was bitter with a capital B. And, you know, that's the human element. I mean, Andy Heron said it best. If you send people to the jury and you're the cause of their demise and you get to the final two and you lose a jury vote, that's on you. So I'm not going to lay any of the blame at the feet of Mark and Elena. I lay all the blame at the feet of Paul. Paul was the reason why Paul lost Big Brother, not Mark and Elena's hurt feelings.
Well, here's what I'll disagree with. I think Paul is 100% responsible for his loss, but he's not responsible for Mark and Elena's behavior. And for as much as you might find it refreshing, I find it pretty sad. I think it's very childish, and it's frustrating to watch, even though I was like happy to see their reasoning and happy to see that I've got this data now, like Paul lost this again, in some ways feeling vindicated about my opinion of him last season too, but at the same time I'm just like, God, this is so frustrating. Like, you have any room to speak here? Like, you were any better? Like, you, like, are you really say, or Alex, are you really saying that you didn't lie in the house? Like, give me a break. It's so pathetic. I hate seeing this. It's one thing to acknowledge, like, you know what, I was really unhappy with what Paul did. I think he took it too far. Therefore, I think that, like, somebody else deserves it more because they didn't do these things or so on and so forth. But, like, they were so clearly full of, like, emotion and bitterness that it's just like at least be like reasonable with what you're saying. Like, at least be consistent with what you're saying. It's frustrating for me to watch.
It's not frustrating for me, and I think this is the reason why, because I am those people sometimes. I am that person who gets to a point where, you know what, I know I'm being childish and I know I'm being a little bit immature, but they're my feelings and I want to get them out. And you know what? These people, they had a vote and they had their feelings and they went with them, and it was enough for Josh to win. So, girl, bye, Taryn.
Brent, I have a very hard time believing that you ever behave.
Yeah, I know. It's really, really tough. Yeah. Don't watch any of my pre-recorded periscopes.
Yes, I just think that like there is such a thing as maturity, and I
don't know what you're talking about.
As much as there is, like, and people telling me that you can vote for, I'm not saying that they voted incorrectly. I'm not saying that they didn't have a right to their vote. I just think their behavior was immature, and I think that you can be mature and also vote against Paul. I think that you can do it in a mature way, and I think Cody did that. I think Cody, like, for as much as he was like, they're both scum, like, but like, he wasn't like so up in arms about it, right? Like, he did it for very actually okay. very good reasons. Like, Cody actually laid it out and said, you know what? They're both scum. I hate them both. But at least Josh owned up to his crap. At least Josh did things. Paul hid behind things. He was too scared to do things. I think that's a very legitimate and consistent reason to not vote for Paul. And I have a lot of respect for that.
So who do we think's worse? Do we think that Alex is the worst of them all? Or you do? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Alex, who is like, I never once lied. Like, give me a break. Of course you did. Like, you play, like, everybody lies in this game. Don't act like you didn't lie. It's so pathetic.
It's so amazing to me that she was the one who was walking into jury. Everyone was like, you know, feeling a little bit of anti-Paul bitterness. And she was like, dude, it's a game. I mean, where did that girl go? How did she, I want to know, like, how did she become who she became? Because she walked into jury voting for Paul, like everybody else was all going to vote for Paul when they got to the jury. And somehow, I think that Alex may have been the person who flipped Cody's vote. I mean, like, I think Alex, like, once Cody saw that Alex was so bitter and that she was willing to vote against Paul, I think that Cody could have, you know, got on that train. Not that he owes any of these people anything. I'm sure Cody was his own man, but I'm just saying that I think there was probably a part of him that was like, damn, like, she's really mad about this. And, I mean, her statement to Paul, but to the final two, when she walked up to put her key in the box, was the first time where I've actually had chills. I mean, like, she was so hurt, and I, even though I can't stand Alex, I actually really felt for her and her hurt at that point, because she had put so much stock into this whole friendship thing, which I couldn't believe was an actual question that they asked during the jury roundtable. Those questions were actually pretty good, I will say, during the final two questioning. I was really happy with those. But like I said, when she walked up to the key box, I was just chilled by the amount of anger that was coming out of her. And it was, maybe refreshing isn't the right word. It was just very interesting for me to watch, because it's human behavior and there's a human element to juries, and they're so unpredictable. And it was nice to see that I can be wrong, you know, because we were talking about how Alex was going to vote and we thought she was drinking the Kool-Aid, and she didn't vote that way.
Yeah,
there is. You keep saying refreshing, and I do think that there's an element of, we often don't see someone that, like, vibratingly angry all the way up into the moment that they put that key in the slot. Right. We're so used to the bitter jury segment where it's like, are they bitter? Do they not like each other? But then when they go to put that slot in, it's always like, congratulations, you both played a great game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so it was, yeah, from a human behavior perspective, it was definitely
yes. That's what I'm getting.
But I can also sympathize. I can sympathize with Taryn, where it's just like, calm down. I think there's an interesting discussion to be had here, and we can talk about it a little bit here or maybe in the future. But we've talked a lot this season about the Alex in the equation. Do you think that if Paul had cut Alex in a different way, if he had handled it differently, would that have helped? Or maybe should he have kept her in the running? We've talked about how she was so loyal to him that, you know, she would have taken him to the final two. And, you know, is that a combination maybe where Paul could have won against her? And then, you know, like maybe what Brent is saying, if she poisoned other people in the jury against Paul, maybe keeping her out of the jury would have been more valuable.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely one of the points we can point to. But like, I don't know, for me, I appreciate honesty. I don't like it when people are saying like, good job, both of you, when they don't feel that way. I want them to be honest. It's just, again, like the way they go about it, if they do it in an immature way, I think that's annoying. If they do it in a mature way, a more mature way like Cody, I think it's less annoying. And I think that the people that are like, no, we love the bitterness, you love it because you probably don't like Paul or that you want to respect the decision, but it doesn't have anything to do with the decision. And I don't think it has anything to do with Paul. People would have hated it if the jury did this to Aika. And they would have if Aika had made it to the final two in Big Brother Canada 5. You would not have been like, no, they totally earned those feelings and they get to be as petty as they want toward Aika. You would have been like, oh my God, that's so not fair. You guys are being so immature. It's just like, that's my problem with behavior. That's like, sure, it's fun to watch, especially if you agree with them. But if you don't agree with them, it's probably not fun to watch. And if you're ambivalent like me, I don't think it's fun to watch either way. I would rather see a more measured and honest jury. I don't want them to lie and pretend their feelings aren't hurt. I love to see the raw emotion, but I think you can handle it in a more mature way.
I thought that she handled herself well when she walked up to the key box and said what she said. I thought, you know, voting for the person who stabbed me in the front, not for the person who stabbed me in the back. I mean, it was clear she was voting for Josh at that point, but I thought that she handled that really well. And I liked how she explained her vote, but obviously what I saw previously to that wasn't really a good look, but.
Yeah,
oh, well.
And that's a great like a point of contention there, because it's like basically Alex claiming she never lied in the game and that she's so much better than Paul. Like, that's annoying. That's immature. Going up to the final thing and being like, you know what? You told me that we're friends, so I'm going to vote the way I'm going to vote, and let's see if we're friends afterward. I think that's a much more mature and like, you know what? Like, this is on
yes.
you. You caused this. I feel bad about it, and this is how I'm going to vote.
I forgot that she said that, actually. She's like, you said, let's be, and the thing that she did that I just thought was so great from a TV standpoint is she started talking like before she even got to the key box. Like, as she's stepping down off the thing and walking there, she's already talking like, so you said we can be friends. So let's be friends, but I'm going to vote for the person who stabbed me in the front, not in the back. I mean, I just thought that was a really great moment, and I appreciate the TV
yes,
of it all.
So,
I thought that she started speaking so early so that she could like fit in a few more shout-outs.
Yeah.
I was really expecting more shout-outs.
And also potentially pulling a Topaz. So
I was so afraid, weren't you? With it being a 5-4 vote, I thought Christmas could pull a Topaz. I thought
or Jason.
I thought there were plenty of people. Because I thought Jason might have accidentally voted for the person he wanted evicted.
Yeah, he said we have to send one of you home or something like that.
Yes, yes. He's like, one of you's got to go. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Then Christmas says, this is 100% a game move, hold on. I've got another theory about this. I think she was being truthful here. The game move is that she has feelings for Paul, and the game move is that she needs to vote for Paul in order to ingratiate herself even more with her, with him, and to have a chance with him.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I mean, like, she was just so terrible tonight. I mean, everything about Christmas was just utterly awful, and the fact that she had a question and she asked it like a little cutesy question,
so annoying.
that she asked to Josh. I mean, it was clear at that point that she was only doing that because she felt bad about the fact that she didn't vote for Josh to win the game. I mean, she was trying to do a little bit of there to Josh to smooth over the fact that she knew her key was going to come out of the box with Paul's name on it. So Christmas girl. And
normally I'd excuse the final three evictee, their question. It's usually a bad one. They just got evicted. They're probably shocked. They're probably really sad. Christmas had tons of time to prepare. I don't give her any excuses here. She should have asked a better question. Yes, we also had the part three of the final three HOH competition where, you see real panic on Paul's face. And this is going to be, something that keeps happening throughout the episode. As Josh pulls ahead of him, he looks so shaken, and he is incredibly nervous as Josh is casting his vote to evict. You can see it in his eyes, in his face. He is like, oh my God, I can't handle this right now. Ultimately, Josh decides to evict Christmas, giving a speech that is basically, thank you guys for allowing me to get this far. I will now bow out. Very, very annoying.
It was so terrible. And that was the moment in time where I thought that, you know, this is how Paul really is when he doesn't have control over everything, because all of a sudden it's out of his hands. He thought for sure he was going to win. And I love it that he had to change his final two speech, because his final two speech was always, he won 10 competitions. He kept saying that over and over again. I won 10 competitions. And of course he didn't win, and he had to like quickly flip it in his head like, oh yeah, I only won 9 competitions. And I think it's just amazing to me. And I know, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of ourselves, but that he had this whole speech planned out, and he never ever really entertained the possibility that Josh would bring him to the final two and how that might look to the jury. I mean, everything was just always under the supposition that Paul was going to take himself to the end. I never even think he thought the possibility of Josh winning over him was real. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, well, he even says in his speech, he's like, and then once it got down to the final pair, I knew I had to win my way to the end, and that's what I did. Except that Josh won the final one, and I made sure he took me.
Yeah, I did that. I did that. Yeah.
I mean, he honestly, from as long as I can remember, when the feeds came on, basically, it feels like he was talking about when he gets to the end, like he's going to win the final three. He just took it as rote. And that's probably speaks to the fact that, again, he's never watched an episode of Big Brother. And the last time he played, he won that final three. And so he just thought like, well, if I won the last one, it'll probably be the same thing. Like he was probably expecting the cat and the milk and all that stuff again, too.
Yes.
Right. I think the thing that I was really taken aback by was everybody was just tweeting like really, really bad things like, oh, my God, he blew it. And I think I even tweeted something, so I'll own that. But I knew in my heart of hearts that there was still a chance that he could win. But we all wanted the immediacy. Like we wanted to win the battle, not the war. Everybody wanted Josh to cut Paul there, even though he might have lost to Christmas in the end. I think that's actually a real possibility. But instead, he keeps Paul in the game. And of course, everybody on Twitter was aghast, losing their minds, going, I can't believe he blew it. He just gave away $500,000. I hope that Josh is okay with the fact that his bank account is going to be $450,000 lighter in the morning. And I'm thinking like, you know, hold up, people. Like, there's still a chance that Paul could blow it here. And he sure did.
So we head into these jury questions. Jason and Mark both call that Christmas will be the person evicted. Also, I was really annoyed because they didn't show the jury's faces when it was revealed that Josh ended up taking Paul. They cut back to them like really late. They were stuck on Julie for a really long time. And Elena's face was still like dropped, but like the rest of them had already recovered. And I was like really annoyed about that. I was about to text.
There were two places that happened. That happened, and then on America's Favorite Player, they didn't give us the wide shot of everybody. They had the camera on freaking Cody and Jessica forever. And I'm happy for Cody that he won America's Favorite Player. But I wanted to see my face cracks, and y'all denied that to me.
Hell? Again, that's why don't vote for just to stick to people, because it's not always going to give you a reward. I was like about to text Rob, like, what are their faces right now? Like, tell me.
Yes.
So Elena asks Paul about the bullying. Paul denies. I spoke on behalf of other people. I wasn't saying anything by myself. I didn't instigate anything. I didn't orchestrate anything. I don't know what you're talking about. Right away, Paul has lost any chance that he has of picking up any votes the second he says this. Everybody, and again, like, this is what people were telling him in the game. You are sicking people on us. They are your dogs. And he's still denying it. All this way, he's committed all this way, he's gotten to the end. He's even saying, I controlled every single week at the end of his speech. He's so confused in his messaging, but it's ridiculous. And this is just the start. Every single question that is addressed to Paul, Alex asked him, last season you were friendship, now you're not. He says, I didn't destroy friendships. Other people did things and I gave as much friendship as possible. Jason asks Paul, you tried to avoid making enemies. Why did you lie so unnecessarily? And Paul says, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I tried. I did my best. You know, I tried to tell people. I tried to do everything I could to save people, but I can't just help everyone. And it's just like, what are these answers, John? What is he saying here?
Well, so I'm going to go through all three of these really quickly here, because I think that that first question, the short answer is that he handled them all very, very poorly. I think we agree on that. With that first one, bullying is like a very loaded question. It's a very political phrase. I don't think anyone wants to be called a bully or associated with being a bully. So I do think that the right answer is to like deny the word bully. But I think that there's probably a middle ground there. I think a better answer would be saying like, I came into this house with a mission to win the game, and I, you know, psychologically manipulated people, or I created relationships where I knew that I could rely on other people to do the dirty work. You know, there are ways you can talk about creating volatile situations to cause people to make bad moves. Like, there's lots of different stuff that you can talk about without owning up to being a bully. I think that you can say, yes, I created these situations that ostracize people, without saying like, yes, I'm a bully. So I think that that was probably the right answer, but that he handled it really poorly. The friendship thing, I think that even though Dan lost in season 14, I think that like one of his big takeaways from that season was how Dan said the second time he played the game, he had to play a completely different game. He had to be the bad guy the second time he played. And I think that even though Dan lost that season, that I think that that's probably a better answer for Paul here. You know, why in your first season were you all friendship, and why were you not friendship this time? I think saying like, well, I came in and it's a different game. There were expectations. You guys knew that I got second place. And so I knew that you would expect me to be friendship, and so I played that against you. You know, I think you really need to own up to that. And then that third question, the same thing. Why did you unnecessarily lie? Well, I think Paul kind of did unnecessarily lie, so maybe he shouldn't have been doing that. But in the moment, I think that a much better way to answer that question is to just say, like, because that, you know, I was able to play you guys. You were all eating out of the palm of my hand. I was in control with all of these votes, and so I knew that anything I said to you would, you know, play that way. I just think that he mishandled all of these, and that there are much better ways to own up to your game without necessarily saying, yes, I'm a liar, yes, I'm a bully, yes, I am a friend destroyer.
I agree. The thing that he needed to do, Taryn and John, was to flip the question around. I mean, when they asked him the question about bullying, first of all, that set him back on his heels, but he's been in the final two before. He knows that there are uncomfortable questions that are going to be coming his way. He should have just said, you know what, look, I don't agree that what I did was bullying. There were definitely points in the game where I felt it necessary to isolate certain people in the house because they were threats to my game directly, and I had to make sure that everybody in the rest of the house was on board with that in order to get those people out of the house. Insofar as friendship goes, I was the biggest target in the house. I felt like coming in, especially when somebody tried to nominate me during week one. So I had to do everything in my power to make sure that I got to the end. And I'm sorry, but some of that involved lying to you guys and making sure that you didn't make moves against me, that I made moves against you. You know what? I do love you guys. And I really think that if you wanted to be in one of these final two chairs, you should have played better. I mean, I played the best I could. Why didn't you? I feel like he needed to put it more on them. Maybe that's a little harsh, but I feel like that would have been better than what he said right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. And like the thing is too, like I talked about this a few days ago, when it's like, when we judge Paul's jury performance, let's remember that it's very hard to do well to a hostile jury. I don't think they were even that hostile. These questions were pretty open-ended. They weren't like, I mean, when Dan was in Big Brother 14, they were practically booing him at every answer. Like, there was nothing he could have said, and it just completely threw him off guard. They were asking Paul tough questions, but like, that's what happens. Even if you're going easy on somebody, like Andy was asked tough questions, but they were happy with Andy, so it didn't matter. These were like layups for Paul. All he needed to do was be honest with them, and I think it would have gone over much better. On the other hand, we see Josh. I do think Josh did a better job than Paul, even though I don't think he did super well. The jury didn't seem like crazy happy about what Josh was saying. But the thing we talked about with Josh was that it doesn't even really matter much what he says. He just needs to show the passion. And I think that Josh was able to show his passion for the game. And I think that's all he really needed to do. We get the question from Matt, like, Josh, what did you do? He did do the whole like, oh, you guys didn't know this, but I'm a super fan. I don't think anyone cared about that. But he does say, like, I played a big game. I aligned with people. Again, I don't think this was great from Josh, but you see Paul being super condescending in the background of Josh's. As Josh is talking, Paul is like, why are you even speaking words right now? And I think that was a terrible look for Paul.
It really was.
I mean, this
was
speaks actually to this. Go ahead, John. Go ahead, Brent.
No, it's okay. So I mean, I think there's a little bit of lag right now. Jonathan, I'm gonna talk right now. You hush for just a second, and I'm gonna say something, and then you can talk. There's a little bit of lag on your end, that's why I feel like there's a little bit of stepping on each other. Just really quickly, I wanted to say that I don't understand Paul's performance here, but on the other hand, you know, he's gotten what he wanted all season long, so I think maybe that's why he was thrown for a bit of a loop there at the end. But it's true that he should have switched the questions and made them more a little bit more proactive. But when Josh was talking, his attitude was just utterly horrible. I don't know why he thought that that was a good look. I think I tweeted this. I think that Paul thought he was there for a coronation. He didn't realize it was still a competition. And I really feel like that's why his performance was that bad. John, go.
Sorry about the lag. I'm in a hotel room in like rural New England.
I figured that out.
People have been asking on Twitter if I'm in like the Witness Protection Agency. Don't tell Paul where I am. So sorry about that. But what I wanted to say was that I think that this again speaks to Paul never having seen the show before. He's never been outside in the jury looking in. He may be unaware of what is on camera and what isn't on camera. He may not be able to see that like he was in view. So yeah, he's making these faces, he's rolling his eyes, and it's like, no, you're on camera. You're still performing in the jury during all of this time, and I think that's another big misstep on his part.
Yes, we get to the second question. I think Josh performed much better on this one. Cody asks him, like, Josh, you basically played Paul's game. Like what do you have to say about that? And this is when Josh talks about, like, you know what, in business, you have to make your partners feel comfortable. And I did my best to make Paul feel comfortable. I downplayed my intelligence, and you all underestimated me. And you know, I think this is a little bit of like overselling what he actually was doing through the course of the house. But that doesn't matter, because I think the jury buys it when he says it. And I think that when he says things that the jury can confirm are true, like, you know, I was a super fan and I downplayed my intelligence. You all underestimated me. When the jury hears that, they go, yeah, we did actually think that you were bad at this game. And now you are here in the final two. Maybe I am missing something. And I think that's a good thing to do.
I think that the best look that Josh had all night was that he was very earnest. I mean, he was very, very appreciative and earnest of the fact that he was in the final two chairs and this was a life's dream for him. That's what I wanted him to do. And he didn't do anything to change any people's votes, I don't think.
Yes. So then again, we get to the, I mean, not counting Christmases, but the final question for Josh, saying, like, you cried after all of your confrontations. Like, what is up with that? I didn't feel like he did super well in this one, basically saying, like, I wanted to, that was part of my strategy, to expose people's games, and no, I didn't feel good about it. It was better than what Paul was doing, which was denying. He did own up to it. Like, you know what? Yeah, I did cry. I did feel bad about it, but it was part of my strategy. And again, this is like a baseline answer. I don't think the jury was like pleased with it, but they also weren't annoyed at it. And that's what Paul failed to do. He failed to not make the jury annoyed. Right, John?
Yeah, I have to agree. All season long, I've been kind of annoyed by how much that Josh cries, but it is definitely who he is as a person. And so, you know, that is, take him or leave him, that's what he is. And I think that he definitely owned up to it. And that's ultimately what you're voting for, right? When it comes down to it, once you get behind all the farting unicorns and all this other stuff, this is like, how do two people at the end of the day relate to each other? How do they emotionally and mentally outplay each other? Who are they as people? And it's like, that's who Josh is. And so by admitting to that and saying, like, yes, I'm an emotional person. Yes, I was trying to present myself this way and I presented myself that way. You know, I think that it makes it much more palatable to be like, okay, this is a guy that I could vote for, especially when you're sitting next to Paul, who, even though he may have played a better game, is sitting in the jury acting like he's not that person that he actually is.
Yes, I'm getting some information in the chat saying that Will is interviewing Mark, and he's saying that what really got to him was that, and of course, we should have known this from Mark, the thing that really got to him about Paul was that he felt like Paul was trying to break him and Elena up. He was trying to get in between him and his woman, he really felt like that was unnecessary, and that's why he voted against Paul. So, you know, I guess it's very consistent with Mark. Yep. Yeah, I mean, that speaks to one of Paul's tactics. I think this one, hearing this, I blame Paul slightly less for losing the vote if that's the reason why. But obviously still the way he handled Mark, not good. And ultimately, Mark doesn't vote for him. But
I I think that Mark's vote reflected more of what was happening with Elena. Elena said that she saw exactly what Paul is doing and that she is really happy for Josh. She confirms that she wanted to crush Paul's dreams. So there was definitely a little bit of a vengeful woman here where she was like, you know, I'm not going to be scorned and I'm going to get you back for doing this to me. And I think that Mark just really fell in line behind her. That's my read on the situation.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And then, so, you know, coming away from these questions, as they cut to commercial, this is before the final speeches. This is another huge point here. Josh goes to like give Paul like a side hug, right? And Paul is leaning away like a petulant child, like so angry that Josh would have the gall to say anything remotely anti-Paul. And he didn't even say anything that was very anti-Paul. And again, like, this is the kind of behavior that I'm saying I think is immature and really pathetic. And it's Paul doing it now. So you're all probably like, yes, it was petulant and it was childish. And it's a terrible look for Paul as a final two person. And I think it is absolutely pathetic. He should not be blaming Josh for this. He should not be like, I absolutely can feel like can understand why he would have the emotions that he's having, but to literally like lean away and not let Josh, and you can see Josh is like smiling because it was awkward and he was clearly saying something to Josh like, no, dude, it's not cool what you're doing right now. And it's just like, get over yourself, right, John?
Yeah, there's a shot. I saw someone took a screenshot. You know, Josh was trying to like shake his hand or hold his hand, Paul's hand, and like Paul didn't really want to participate in it. And, you know, my heart does go out to Paul a little bit. It's gotta be hard to come in second place by one vote two times. Like, he is also a human being. So I'm sure he's going through some stuff, but yeah, it's not a great look. Not a lot of good sportsmanship there coming from Paul. And, yeah, it's like you are trying to win just as hard as Josh is at this point. And, it's really not a good look. You know, weren't we all taught like in elementary school, like after the baseball game, you shake the other person's hand. Like, that's just kind of how it plays out.
I don't know that there's anything he could do. Mark is talking to Dr. Will right now, and Mark admitted that Paul played the better game. He said, you know, point blank, Paul played a better game, but he took it overboard blatantly in their faces with the behavior in the house. So all of that sort of isolation and bullying and making, you know, lining up two or three targets down the line, all of that work that Paul was doing that Derek did pretty successfully in Big Brother 16, I mean, it just didn't work as well for Paul here because he wasn't able to control the narrative enough and not keep it and not let it get to a point where it was so nasty that the jurors felt bad about it once they got to jury.
Yeah. And again, I think that all comes down to just not owning it. Like, the people weren't able to, trying to convince them that that wasn't what was happening. And then like lying to them on their way out and then them figuring it out on their own in the jury house. Like, it's just, it can't work that way. Like, the way that Derek did it, he was ambiguous in his goodbye messages. He did tell like little white lies, like, oh man, I did my best. But like, I'm sorry that I couldn't do it. But people weren't mad at Derek despite his antics, despite his tactics. And that's because, well, I mean, one, they liked Derek a lot more than they liked Paul. And two, you know, Derek was able to own his game to them to a small extent. Like, Derek didn't have like a moment where he went to somebody and said, look, here's my game, and then hold back. Like, when Paul goes to Alex and says, look, I have to get rid of you because of this, this, and this, and then Alex is like, oh man, that sucks, and I hate this, and I'm so bitter against you, and then goes to jury and then finds out it wasn't that, that, and that, it was actually this, this, and this, it's like, well, why did I just spend 2 days trying to reconcile the previous reasoning, and now I have to figure out this new reasoning? Like, what is happening here? And yeah, I mean, I think it's just not owning up to it. I don't want to be a broken record. I know we've said that many times at this point, but yeah, it really, really hurt him there.
But it's just, you know what, it goes back to your analysis of Paul when he was talking to Alex. When he was, you know, basically letting her go, and he, you know, whenever there was confrontation and he feels a little bit guilty about things, he's just not very good at it. And he's not good at owning his game. He had a perfect opportunity in that moment to tell Alex the truth. Now, he tried to wave it away by saying, well, you know, I have to make sure that, you know, what if Kevin wins HOH at Final Four? Well, that doesn't mean, first of all, Kevin's not going to win HOH at Final Four. And even if he did, he can't do anything about it because the veto determines everything. So you might as well have been honest with Alex at that point in the game and said, you know what, I've wanted you out for a couple weeks now. You're just too good. I can't win against you. I know I said friendship, and I do have friendship with you. I love you to death, but I cannot take you to the end because I will lose. Now, he said something similar to that, but he didn't own his shit. And I feel like if he would have owned it with Alex, she would have gotten mad at him at the time, but recovered in the jury house. Instead, as it stands, Jonathan, she got mad in the jury house and was calm in the Big Brother house. And by the time she gets to jury and starts getting mad, it boils over into her vote.
And yeah, I think that the information that we're sort of getting through the chat into Dr. Will's interviews with the house guests is reinforcing a lot of what we're discussing. The idea that it's yes. not that Paul played a faulty game, or it's not that that Josh played a better game, that it really, it's coming down to not even like jury management, but just sort of the taste that is left in the mouth of these jurors as they walk out and they see these goodbye messages, and they just don't feel like they've been handled in a proper way. And it's like you said very aptly earlier on, Brent, like they've just had time to not calm down, but to sort of simmer up while they've been in the jury house, which is reassuring, because if we're going to let Mark say that he voted for against Paul because of an Elena thing, if this game is decided by like some miscast idea of like ownership over Elena, then it's like, what are we even talking about? So I'm glad that we're that it, maybe it's more about emotions and jury management and less about
Elena. I know, right? Taryn, I think our national treasurer, Arissa Cox, said it best when she tweeted yesterday that, you know, when you're lying to the people who are going to the jury and they associate you with a feeling of humiliation when they're going to the jury house, it's not a good look.
Yeah, and like you talked about, like people were getting mad after they got to the jury house. I think that's what Paul wanted, because he couldn't face their anger. He was too emotionally immature. And that's why I stood my ground about the crying thing, because I really felt like that is who Paul is. He is somebody who is, when he finally has to tell someone to their face, he breaks down over it because he can't handle it. And that's why he's afraid. He's like, okay, it's fine if they go to the jury house and they figure it out and they get mad at me there. At least I won't have to face it. And even then, it even explains like his confused messaging. He has the stats. He says in his final speech, I played you all. I controlled the entire game. But when actually faced with answering a question, he hides away from it. And he says, yes. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. There are two different stories going on there. He has a narrative and a speech that I like. I like the speech. I don't love all of the speech, but at least he owns much of his game in the speech and says, you know, I was doing this. I controlled this. I was the person who was the cause of your demise. But when faced with a direct question from the jurors, it's like he melts. He doesn't know what to say. And he's sort of like, he's all butthurt about the fact that they're even questioning him right now. He's like, you guys were my puppets all season long. And now it's like the puppets are taking control. He just could not handle it.
Yes. So finally, we get these interviews with the pre-jury. And this is part of, this was a 2-hour finale. It's usually 90 minutes. I have to say, I liked what they did. I still would prefer they do this after revealing the winner and include the final two in these interviews and these back and forths. But I liked what they did here for the most part. They spent a little more time with pre-jury. They showed some of the stuff that went on throughout the season. The Paul montage, the Josh montage. I thought that was kind of fun.
Cameron got a chance to talk.
I'm telling you, it's because he got enough votes for that AFP. He got enough votes, and they were like, man, people like Cameron. I don't know why. He just got all these votes all of a sudden. I mean, we're talking about like people that were robbed, bitter juries. Cameron was robbed. He did not make the final three, or the top three for America's Favorite Player. And yes, of course, Jason did. I didn't want Jason there, though. I wanted Cameron there.
Okay. Well, I didn't want Alex there, so I got my wish on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you mentioned the Alex thing, and I was just like, oh, perfect. This is a great reason to vote for Cameron.
I'm glad that we had an opportunity to. We heard from all of the pre-jurors. Jessica, Cameron.
Yep. Yep. Megan, not even
all the
there,
ones that mattered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Julie says Jody wants to embrace. That was a little weird. Jess reads the jury, the riot act. Like, you shouldn't have come to play if you were just going to play for Paul. I loved Cameron also. Cameron made a great point where it's like, not only the people that played for Paul, but the people that played for each other going into showmances. And I like, for as much as people like Cody and Jess, they were guilty of this too. They played for each other and not for themselves. And that's really another reason why Paul was able to succeed. Man, we really missed out with Cam here. He really could have made a difference in this season, I think.
Definitely good advice for future seasons. I'm pretty sure that advice fell on deaf ears with this cast, though. I don't think that any of the showmances think that their showmance hurt them. I don't think that Mark and Elena or Matt and Raven or even Jessica Cody think like, oh, this showmance hurt me. You know, I could have played better if I was a lone wolf or whatever. But yeah, future seasons, if you find yourself on a future season, maybe don't consider being in a showmance. Or if you are in one, don't throw away your game just for that reason.
Yeah, I think all of them were looking around like, yeah, you guys that were only here.
Right, all the other ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, we get this montage about people trusting Paul. This felt a little bit like shaming the jury for just not voting for Paul to win. But I do think the Josh thing probably made them feel a little more validated. Paul was so pissed about the Josh goodbye message thing.
So pissed.
Just again, calling it cowardly. Like, get out of here, dude. What are you talking about? Why are you such a baby? Come on. Like, Josh,
he was such a little bitch.
Exactly. And Josh handled it maturely.
Yes, Josh handled it maturely. Paul handled it immaturely. It was almost like Paul was still playing the game. I'm like, honey, the keys are in the box. Like, you can tell us like what was really going on here. You could at least acknowledge the fact that Josh put one over on you. Like, Josh was telling you in the house that he was doing exactly what you told him to do in the goodbye messages, that he wasn't revealing the fact that you were in a final three with you and Christmas. But in fact, he was doing that. And of course, Josh's reasoning for that wasn't cowardly at all. But Paul was the one who was hiding behind lies in the goodbye messages when he's supposed to be being honest with these people and owning his game. Josh, on the other hand, was being honest, at least. And I cannot agree with what you said earlier. I'm not trying to attack you, but I'm just saying that I don't know that Josh wins this game without revealing what he does in the goodbye messages. That's something that in the future, I mean, maybe this was just sort of an isolated case, but Andy didn't seem to think so. And I think that the stock that we put in goodbye messages and what's revealed there is something that we have to consider moving forward.
Well, the thing is, I think that they will discuss and they will find out whether or not Josh tells them. So I think that Josh does win regardless of the goodbye messages, but I do think they helped. And I think that, I think that it, like, there's enough leeway there that we can say this was a good move by Josh. It certainly helped him win the game. John, go ahead.
Right.
Yeah, one of the more particularly frustrating moments during that sort of post-vote, pre-winner reveal segments of the show was when Julie asked Paul, you know, she said, you play a game of friendship, you talk about friendships, which person was it the most difficult to cut? Like, you had to cut all your friends to get to the final two. And Paul answered it like with a very like lukewarm, milquetoast, middle of this road answer. And it's like you were saying a minute ago, like it's like he didn't realize that the votes were already cast. And I was like, the votes are already cast, Paul. You can literally say whatever you want. You can finally reveal who your actual friends were and who they weren't. Or you can tell them all to go shove off. You could just stand and like do a little dance or something. Like he could have done literally anything in that moment, but he was still like holding back with that question, even though the votes had already been cast. And it was really frustrating.
I think he was just shell-shocked more than anything. I really do believe that he can't believe that his little puppet, Josh, who he could literally get to do anything all season long, was somebody. I mean, he didn't even find out that Josh was actually plotting against him at Final 7 and Final 5. He didn't even really get that part. All he got was the fact that Josh was revealing things that Paul explicitly told him not to do in the goodbye messages, and I, for one, was living for it. Paul was just so indignant over the fact that Josh had a little bit of a mind of his own. Like, Paul, I guess it's okay for you to lie and for you to puppet master everybody, but it's not okay for Josh to reveal the truth and lie about it to you in the house. I guess that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, and I think that's just Paul. That's like it wasn't that he was still playing the game, because it wasn't playing the game when he was doing it. It was just that he is so afraid of like that kind of like confrontation of like having to own up to this stuff. He can't do it to people's faces. He can do it in the DR when they're reading him lines, but like he can't do it to their face. He's too scared to do it. So yeah, I mean, we also can't forget about this. I saw Jessica, like, I don't know if she was joking or not, but like somebody was asking her, like, do you want Cody to propose to you at the finale? And she was like, oh, that would be so great. And so, Julie goes to Cody and she says, so Cody, how you feeling about Jessica? Good.
Yeah, and did you catch in the part three that when asked about what his best part of the game was it the battle back or Jess, he said winning the battle back. So I thought that was a little bit funny. Now, just to give him a little bit of a pass, obviously they asked these house guests, you know, to finish this statement, and he said winning the battle back. Jessica, he might have answered previously in a different question, so maybe he didn't want to repeat himself. And obviously the producers are coming up with an answer that they think might be a good fake answer for the house guests. Obviously, they didn't ask Cody, you know, what was the best part of Big Brother? Winning the battle back, or was it Jessica? Because in that case, he clearly would have said Jessica, but you have to know how to read these questions, and that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I also loved that he said, I was warned multiple times that I'm not allowed to run across the stage.
I know, right? That was great. I love that. He was like, I've been warned multiple times that I cannot cross the stage and embrace Jessica. I just want to hug her so much. I'm with you guys. Like, I thought there might be a proposal on the horizon, but I'm really glad that there wasn't, because proposals are always so cringy. And even though I do believe, John, in my heart of hearts, that Jessica and Cody have what it takes to go the distance, like a few other Big Brother showmances, I was glad I didn't have to see it tonight. What about you?
Yeah, this is probably my least favorite aspect of the show, if I'm being honest. I love the strategy. You know, once upon a time, I was Team Robot with Taryn, so like that's my wheelhouse. But I do love the entertainment. I love the, you know, I can get behind the fights and the jury segments. The showmances, I absolutely could not care less. Like whenever they do like the makeouts on TV or whatever, like I don't care. You know, I've come to really love Rachel and Brendan. They've kind of come to represent like this Big Brother family, and we love them. They're great when they come onto RHAP and all that. But as like an aspect of the show, if they like tomorrow were just like showmances are no longer allowed, I would not have any problem at all with it. So I'm glad that there wasn't a proposal. I don't need that. I don't care. Moving on.
I think it would have been great TV if Cody had gone across the stage anyway, and you know, like security guards would have had to come out and tear them apart. That would have been fun.
Right. I would have liked that. I have a feeling that that happens to Cody a lot, where like he wants to do something and then he has to be warned multiple times, like, no, don't do that.
Yes. So finally, we get the vote read. Paul starts crying the second Mark's vote is read. I think he knows what's coming at that point. You got to feel for him a little bit. I'm sure some people relished in this, but to lose by one vote again, the same exact way. I think this is going to haunt Paul for the rest of his life. I think he's going to have a really hard time getting over this. Brent, you obviously feel not so sympathetic.
Nope, I don't feel sympathetic at all. I think it was glorious. Paul was such a big baby, John, during this whole reading of the votes. Like, I think, again, I thought he was there for a coronation, not an actual competition. And when he didn't get a few votes that he thought for sure he was going to get, like, he literally started crying. Like, he's like, come on, guys. Like, why are you doing this to me? Like, come on. I'm supposed to be the winner of Big Brother. I thought I had it in the bag. Like, I mean, that was his whole attitude, John, the entire time. Not that it matters, but it just was a terrible look.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about how this really was Paul's game to lose for almost the entire season, and certainly tonight. And we've talked a lot about how he's shown a lot of, whether we want to call it bad sportsmanship or bad behavior or whatever. So I do agree. I personally have just a lot of empathy. Whether I want to or not, whenever I see something on TV, I really put myself in that person's shoes. And like, I just imagine, like, what if I was on Big Brother? What if I had played 2 years in a row and I lost by a single vote 2 years in a row? I was that close to having the title and also having the money. And like, I just really did feel like that will crush him. I have to agree with you, Taryn. Like, that's going to sit with him for a really, really long time. In the grand scheme of things, did he have it coming? Was it his game to lose? Absolutely. But like, just imagine if that were you, like, oh my God, he's going to have a really hard time tonight, I think.
Yeah, I'm very much like a Josh about this, where it's like when I'm seeing Paul act like such a petulant child to Josh, I'm like, oh, I can't wait for him to get his comeuppance. But then like the second he's sad about it, I'm like, oh, man, now I feel bad. If he had been angry, I would have been like, yes, you deserve it. But when somebody's sad, I'm just like, oh, man, I hate that I feel bad for you. I hate that I felt bad for Alex when it happened to Alex. And then she was angry and yelled at Kevin again. And I was all like, yes, back to not feeling sympathy.
I think a lot of my criticisms of Josh throughout the season are probably that somewhere deep inside of myself, I see a lot of myself in Josh, because I agree. It's like that, you know, you want to go after these people, you want to play the game, you want to be strategic, but then it's like your emotions get caught up with you. You start empathizing, you start feeling badly. I mean, gosh, like I can be really snarky with my friends and family and on Twitter and things, but then when I find out, like if I think that I've actually hurt someone's feelings, it's just crushing. So yeah, it's. I agree.
All right. Let's take some questions before we wrap this up. We have one from Krim on Twitter who asks, where would you guys rank Josh and Paul now that it's over? Is Paul a top 10 player? Top 20? What do you think, John?
Oh, gosh. I do think that if Paul had won tonight, that would be a worthy discussion. I think that as someone who has lost twice, that really does knock him down a peg. We can say that he is the only person to make, he's gotten second place twice, right? Dan is the only other person. He got first and then second. So he's in a very, very small circle there with like someone who's actually been able to make the finals, you know, multiple times. But he's played a game. He's kind of earning this Russell Hantz-esque reputation, like the Russell Hantz Big Brother. Like, is he a player who could ever win? So is he better than any replacement level player? Definitely. I honestly think that he could make the jury almost every single time he plays, even if he goes back for another All-Stars season, even with the reputation of being a two-time finalist, I could easily see him making the jury a third time. So definitely up there, I would say comfortably in the top 20. I'd be comfortable saying that. I really don't want to put him in the top 10, considering that he's never won. And I think that with that style of play, he's probably not going to win, you know, if he plays again.
Yeah, I think this was a really specific circumstance with these idiots in the house that they cast and his status of being the only veteran. I don't know. I just really love the fact, Taryn, I know we can agree on this, that I don't have to entertain any more, well, Paul's just as good as Dan because he got, you know, second place one season and first place the next season. Like, I'm so glad that I don't even have to listen to that ever again.
Yes. Well, here's the thing, because I think the Russell Hantz comparisons will come in. I don't think he is a Russell Hantz. I think that he came one vote away from winning both times. That's a lot closer than Russell ever got. I think Paul can win a season. You know, just some other things go his way. He makes a couple of small changes in his game, and I think he wins this season. So I don't think he is incapable of winning a season, but I would not put him in the top 10. I wouldn't even put him in the top of like best to never win. When you look at last season, I think he made it to the final two basically purely because Victor came back into the house twice, and then he still lost because of his own poor jury management. Then he came in into this game, and the only reason he was able to succeed, or at least it was a very like key cog in his strategy, was the fact that he was the only vet. It took him to the end of the game, but again, he loses due to his own poor jury management. That's not a top tier player for me, and I would not put him in the top 10. I think maybe top 20, but even then, I feel like you're starting to push it.
I really feel like more than anything, I know people say, oh, he's very Russell Hantz because of the fact that I feel like it's because he lost twice, but I feel like more than anything, we talked about this before, he's definitely more Amanda Kimmel.
Yeah.
Like, he just won't own his game. He seems unwilling. He's not even comfortable with confrontation with these people. He feels bad, but he can't own it. I mean, like, there's a point in time where, like, Todd on Survivor China, he knows he needs to own his shit. And there's never a point in time where Paul is ever able to own his shit. He starts to, but then he backtracks a little bit. And it just seems like totally fake. And he doesn't even come off as a real person. And I know we joke about Josh saying that he's a human being or human being in the first week of the season. But I feel like more than anything, that's the one thing that Josh had over Paul, was that he seemed real to them, like warts and all.
Yeah, and I mean, I will give Paul credit. He did some amazing things this season, but again, it was this season when he had a huge advantage, and it all stemmed from the fact that he was the only vet. So it's really hard to like give full credit to those things because he did have a leg up there. But I do think probably like in the top like 80th percentile or 90th percentile in terms of like, I don't think many players could have done everything that he was capable of doing this season, even if they were the sole vet. But again, he still loses, so it doesn't really matter much if you can't pull it, pull it home. So let's go to the next question here from Harry Schaefer on Twitter, who asks, remember crazy times back in the day, meaning before this season, when endurance competitions meant more than an hour? Yeah, I think we all missed the, what was it, the box? Remember what the name of that was? Pressure cooker?
Yeah, the pressure cooker, yeah. And then the one, the endurance competition that Evil Dick competed in season 8 that lasted like into the morning, that was also something that I don't know that we're ever going to see something like that again, and that really makes me sad. The best endurance competition that we got all season long was the one that we couldn't watch. It was the one that Jessica won. I would have lived for seeing that one, and I'm sort of bummed about it. Actually, I'm not bummed, I'm pissed.
And I loved the one from season 5 when they were holding the buttons and Jace was going like crazy, like a madman. That was a great one. They did this in Survivor now too, where they make the difficulty enough that they're able to like essentially knock them off when the producers or the filmers or whoever's there get tired. And it's just like, come on, let them hang in there for a little while.
I'm still a really big fan of the original, like just sit on this bed for as long as you can and you can't get up from the bed. Or if we're talking about Survivor, like Survivor Palau's Final 3 challenge, like that's my favorite thing. I don't need like the visual if we have a compelling like storyline between these characters. And like, honestly, I love seeing that ticker when it comes up and it's like 15 hours later. Like it's like, damn, 15 hours.
It really feels epic.
They could go back to that.
It makes it feel like
they really want that money.
Exactly.
Is it worth it for you to sit somewhere for 15 hours?
And is it really that much extra work? Like they're already in the house. You're already running the cameras. Like, just keep them there. You know, what's the issue here? Let's go on to the next question from Kurt Clark. He says, seriously though, which is more cowardly, continuing to lie in your goodbye messages or telling the truth / coming clean? I assume he means when Paul is calling Josh cowardly for the goodbye messages, as opposed to Paul's method, which was continuing to lie. I think we can agree that, Paul was definitely more cowardly. And I think that explains Paul's entire jury management was just cowardly.
Yeah, this was just totally nonsensical. There's a point in time where you just have to face facts, and Paul was unwilling to face the fact that he got played. He needed to just look at Josh and say, man, I tip my hat to you, man. You played me there. But he couldn't do that.
It's from a very Paul-centric point of view. I think when Paul said that was cowardly, he was thinking, like, why couldn't you say that stuff to me or about me in front of my face so that it could come back around and get back to me? You know what I mean? He wasn't thinking about it from the perspective of the jurors. Like, I'm letting these jurors know. He wasn't thinking about it from Josh's perspective. Like, this is part of Josh's game to let the players know what his strategy was, what his part in taking these people out in the final three was. Like, it's really, you know, Paul. It's Paul's world. It's the Paul show. He thinks about it from his perspective. That's why he thought it was cowardly.
Yeah.
Like, why weren't you doing this for me?
If Josh had exposed to Paul the fact that he was dropping truth bombs in every goodbye messages explicitly to bury Paul and be honest about what was going on, I think that there is a reasonable possibility that if Paul won part three, he doesn't take Josh to the final two. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think anything would have changed Paul's mind about that, to be honest.
Okay.
But I do think that Paul may have changed up his jury strategy, which may have meant that Paul ends up beating Josh in the final two. Let's move on to the next question. I know we're running a little long here, but it's a bit of a supersized
podcast.
It's
finale night.
Yeah, it's the finale.
Yeah.
we'll take a few more questions. We have one from Liza Michelle, who asks, what did Cody mean by I'm keeping my word? Brent, you mentioned that you think maybe this alludes to like a deal that he made with Mark and Elena in the jury. I think that's certainly possible. I really can't come up with anything else. I don't think he ever said in the house that he promised he wouldn't vote for Paul.
Yeah, there was also a point in time where he told Jessica that he'll never vote for Paul over a newbie. He did say that at one point, but then Jessica and him talked and they said that they really, you know, out of everybody, they sort of like grudgingly respected Paul's game. So based on my read on it, I think that Cody was talking about some deal or agreement that Elena and Mark made in the jury house and said, you know what? We're not going to vote for Paul under any circumstances. We're not going to give this asshole our votes. I feel like they all agreed to that. And I feel like that Cody was trying to make it seem like he might have voted for Paul or maybe to us. That was like an unintended reaction, because when he said that, I thought, oh, he voted for Paul. But I think it was pretty clear, like in hindsight, that he was talking to Mark and Elena when he said he's keeping his word.
Yeah. And you know what? I think I read that Cody was saying he really didn't care who won. He really didn't care who he was going to vote for. So I think it makes a lot of sense that maybe he liked Mark and Elena more than anyone else in that jury house. And so he was just like, you know, whatever you guys want to do.
Well, Dr. Will asked him about that vote, and Cody said that, you know, he kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, you know, well, I don't really like Paul, so whatever. So obviously his dislike for Paul is greater than his dislike for Josh.
Right. I think the idea that maybe he kept his word was maybe he was like, you know, I really don't care really much either way. But if you guys are against Paul, I hate Paul, too. So sure.
Okay.
Maybe I'm again, we're just speculating here. Next question is from Anthony S., who asks, who from this season will be back as the sole vet next year? I think Cody has the best shot, I think.
Yeah, Cody has the best shot. Jonathan, I think that, don't you agree with me? I know we joke around that the producers don't listen to us, but after what happened this season, I don't feel like they're going to do this again on season 20. They won't do that. Please tell me, Jonathan, that they won't do that to us.
I actually have this figured out. So check this out. Last year, Paul plays, he's a newbie, right? He gets second place. That's $50,000. Paul plays a second time this year. He's a vet. He gets second place again. That's $50,000. That's a combined total of $100,000. I think Paul only needs to play 8 more times, and then he'll eventually amass a total of $500,000, essentially making him the first person to get second place 10 times, becoming sort of like an afterthought winner. No, but in all seriousness, I think that Cody winning America's Favorite Player, that definitely bumps him up quite a bit, because we've seen like James coming back into the house after being America's Favorite Player. Like, they do use that as a barometer for who they want to bring back. Clearly, the editors are into the whole Jessica and Cody relationship, so I could see them laying hard into that, especially if they stay together and maybe bringing one or both of them back. On the other hand, you know, they have, you know, Cody has said problematic things in the house, and they didn't put that on the show, and we know that they don't necessarily care so much about what the feedsters and the Twitter people say, but maybe they want to not put their hands on that. I could honestly see, especially now that he's won, I could see Josh coming back. Beyond that, I really don't know. I think that maybe Kevin would be asked back because everyone likes him a lot, but I don't think he would ever want to play again. So I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see Kevin coming back. I really think that Cody and Jessica are the two people that could come back for another season, and maybe Alex. I think that the editors and the producers really seem to enjoy what they. I'm sorry. I'm just, I mean, like,
yeah, don't
get mad at me for putting it out there in the universe.
I'm mad at the universe. I'm mad that that's even out there.
I mean, like, we made fun of her for this. She's saying that she wanted to lose so that she could come back again, Taryn. But, I mean, like, let's
look. Well, maybe now she's seen that that's not a viable strategy, because that's kind of what happened with Cody or Paul, and he didn't win.
You know,
well, look, here's the thing. Let's just talk about this reasonably for a second, okay? I'm not trying to put it out there in the universe. However, they did give her a really good edit on the TV show, and she's not like some, you know, white blonde girl who they have 1,000 of. She's an interesting person with an interesting background who was a little bit feisty and voted really bitterly in the jury, which is sort of entertaining. So I can see them actually inviting her back. Sorry.
All right. Well, if we're gonna talk about like potentials, I actually do feel like, you know, I feel like there's a potential that I almost called him Malcolm, that Cameron could come back. I think that he made a big enough impact on the show. I think maybe he got a fair amount of America's Favorite Player votes. We saw them almost bring back. Oh man, what was his name? Guy from season 10 that went out first.
Brian Hart.
Yes, Brian Hart. We almost saw him brought back. I think that Cameron is almost in that that realm. I don't think, unfortunately, he fulfills a role that is like very crowded in terms of like potential all stars. But if it's like a single vet thing, I could see like Cameron being like one of four potential people to come into the house. I think that's not as likely as Alex. But I think it's still out there.
If we talk about when they did OTT, which kind of just seems like a weird drunken fever dream at this point, but there was a vote at one point where it was going to either be Jason or Jose entering the house again. I could see them entertaining Cameron for something
exactly.
like that. Or like you said, having like a, not like a coach's season, but, you know, if they want to gather Glenn and Jody and all these other people together, I could see something like that. But unless it's something sort of a gimmick like that, where it's like a vote in or a group of first one outs or like a robbed whatever season, I don't see them just bringing him back. Certainly not for an All-Stars. And I love Cameron, you know, like I follow him on Twitter. I think he's great. I wanted to vote for him for favorite player, but I don't think a first out is going to be on All-Stars.
I'm not saying that. I completely agree with what you're saying. I think that there's definitely a chance that Cameron is not done with Big Brother in some form or another. That's all I'm saying.
I really hope that they would do something like Survivor did, and you know, if not even rip it off directly, do something similar where they have, you know, a pool of 25 people like they did during season 7
All-Stars.
And let people let us decide the cast. I mean, like, that would really get social media going. It would really be a big deal for their 20th season. Like, I would love for like a second chances. I mean, that was a phenomenal season of Survivor with amazing gameplay, and I really think that Big Brother would like something like that. But it doesn't seem like they do. They don't really. I think they were asked about it last year. I hope Rob asks them about it this year. About what about a full All-Stars? Why won't you just give the fans what they want? Like, I want somebody to ask it like that. I need to text Rob right now.
The answer would be like, I don't know if the fans do want that. But yeah, I mean, going back to the question, Brent, you mentioned that you feel like the producers, certainly at this point, they will learn that we don't want a single vet after the events of this season, which tells me that next season Julie is going to say, so we've brought back the fan favorite twist of introducing a single vet into the house. I think that's what we might be in for, unfortunately.
Well, there was that, wasn't it during one of Rob's interviews or emails that he got to do with Allison Grodner, where he was saying like, why did you bring a single vet back into the house? And they were saying like, yeah, we looked at the casting, we had this group, we thought they were a really good group, but like, what's one thing that would make it even better is throwing in a vet, and what difference would one single vet make? I remember, Brent, you recently made a big deal about like, we need to bring that question back up. Like, look at how close he came to the end. Ultimately, you know, he didn't win. But I think that the producers are not necessarily on the same plane. And as much as we think that we are representative of the entire viewership, I don't know how closely we are representative of the entire viewership either.
I agree that we're not representative of the total viewership, but I do feel like I listened to Allison Grodner and Rich Meehan, and they owned it. They know what's going on with Paul this season. They know the fans weren't happy. Even the casual fans weren't happy with the lack of gameplay on this season. So they tried to wave it away with a little bit of, we think this was really a unique situation this season. On the other hand, they have to look at statistics, and every time a veteran has been brought back into a cast, or either one veteran or a bunch of veterans, I think only one time did he not make it to the end, and that was Jesse, who got coup d'etat out of the game. Everybody else, like even Jason on OTT, Nicole on last season, I mean, Dan in Big Brother 14, every time you bring veterans back into a cast of newbies, there's always going to be a veteran in one of the final two chairs. It doesn't matter how many, if there's one or four, there's always going to be somebody there.
All right, let's go to the next question, which is from Chris Erickson. Is Cody the real winner this season? Deciding vote against his nemesis, America's favorite player, gets him $25,000, and he goes home with Jessica. Sure, certainly one of the winners, at the very least.
He's gonna get that truck fixed up.
Yeah, I mean, I would be reluctant to say that anybody besides Josh is the real winner of this season. But if anybody came away from this season looking really, really great and possibly, you know, up for another Big Brother or Survivor, I could totally see Cody going on Survivor.
Yeah,
by the way.
Here's if we're doing a Rob has a PR firm, Cody, do not go back to Big Brother. It will not end well for you. Do Amazing Race. Do Survivor, whatever you want. Don't come back to Big Brother. It does not fare well for anybody. Next question from Phil Gourlay. Paul lost. Cody won fave. What a wonderful outcome. Do you think the jury being irritated with Matt and Raven caused any impact in the final vote? I'm sure it caused some impact, but I don't think it was the deciding factor here, John.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, it's, we're just going to be picking at straws because we don't have live feeds in the jury house. But what we have seen in the jury house is definitely that Matt and Raven were on the outs. People were totally sick of them. And now that none of them were in contention for the prize money, they didn't feel like they had to keep it silent anymore. And I think that, you know, up until, you know, they were in there casting their votes, you know, Matt and Raven were both doing their whole spiel about
Butty
and all this stuff.
Yes.
So I could see it getting on their nerves. I mean, again, with the whole, like, if I put myself in Mark's shoes, you know, and being like stuck in a house with them, I could see it being just like enough, like just to piss them off. I'm going to vote this way.
Yeah,
I definitely see it happening.
If I was ever on a jury and I said something similar to like, well, you know, this person played the best game and I got a lot of pushback from people that's for someone that I really wanted to win. The last thing I would continue to do is push. I would just try to be understanding and say, oh, you know, hey, I know where you guys are coming from. Your feelings are hurt. You think you got played. You're not willing to vote for him. I get it. You know, and I feel like when you give people that permission, that they in turn will feel a little bit guilty and be like, yeah, you're probably right. And it is a game. But if you continually push, which is what the question asked us, you know, were Matt and Raven one of the causes of Paul's demise? I think they had probably 10% part of it. I feel like that they were so intractable in jury and not willing to listen to other people's opinions on the game that Paul played or the game that Raven and Matt played. I feel like that they certainly didn't do Paul any favors.
All right. Final question from Zaul on Twitter. Will the jury regret their bitterness? I actually just read in the chat, Annie says, Alex told Will that people told her that Paul was making fun of her behind her back. And that's what ended up changing her vote. That's interesting to me because if I'm not mistaken, that's actually not true. I'm pretty sure she's one of the few people that Paul did not make fun of behind her back. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brent or John.
Yeah, as far as I know that's true. And it's really funny because Alex was one of the number one instigators of making fun of people behind their backs. So that's really kind of frustrating that if that really laid down in her decision, because she's just as guilty of that.
Yeah, I don't know that he made fun of her, but it certainly might have gotten around to her that Paul was calling himself the puppet master. I know she said that to Dr. Will, that's one of the things that caused her to change her vote. The fact that Paul referred to himself as the puppet master. And if she felt humiliated like a puppet in the game, I feel like that's where she might be sort of glossing over the fact that that's really what it was. And that, you know, she sort of perceived it as Paul making fun of her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he said puppet master in the house. That I imagine she must have been referring to afterward when they revealed the diary rooms. So, I mean, again, going back to this question, if we're talking about like, will the jury potentially regret this? I could see Alex maybe regretting it. If she did it based on false information, I could see her maybe regretting it. But that, at the same time, Alex is definitely the kind of person that would like kind of double down and be like, no, I was right for a different reason then. So it really, if you're asking me, you know, I think if you look at the season 14 jury, I think some of them did ultimately regret their votes. But with this jury, I don't think that anyone's really going to regret, voting against Paul. Do you agree, Brent?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to really regret voting against Paul. I certainly hope they don't, because it was definitely a moment for reality television. If I just want to take like 10 seconds and play this for you guys. So this is my reaction upon hearing that Josh won.
Bitter. Oh my God.
Wait.
Come on, Cody. Josh. Yes! 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 Oh my God!
Oh my God, you guys, I was just, I mean, like, I just don't remember a time watching reality television where I was just that excited. It was just that good.
Yeah.
Brent, that reminds me, when are we going to get part two of the Brent interview on the Taran?
That's the man. I don't run this place. Freaking Taran has got it like locked in a safe somewhere for
something made me think about.
You know what
that.
He's waiting for? He's waiting for sweeps week. That's what he's waiting for. he's waiting for the big ratings time when they decide all the ad dollars, and then he's going to release.
Exactly. I mean, this is a big big money item here. all right.
Thank you for indulging me.
That's all we've got for you for the season finale of Big Brother 19. Make sure you look for Rob. Bob's backyard interviews. I know he must be having a blast doing this. It's really something that I think means a lot to Rob to be able to go out and do it. So make sure you support that and let him know how great a job he's doing with it. I just want to say thank you to the audience all season long, between the morning updates, podcasting every single day about Big Brother, as well as the episode recaps and all of this stuff, the LFC roundtable. It's just been, this has been an amazing summer for me, and I could not do any of it without all of you, even the people that say I'm biased for Paul or against Paul or calling me an idiot. It's all great. You're all still listening, and I love it all. So thank you so much.
You did a great job, Taryn. All the live feed updates you did in the morning, really, really great. Actually, I hadn't realized that you had perfect attendance, but that's so you. It really is.
That's something that I was never able to get when I was in like elementary and middle school. So yeah, definitely kudos to you, Taryn. That's absolutely incredible. Little clap.
Yes. There was like one day where I was like, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. And I was like, no. I got to make sure that I make this because I don't want to miss any. I wanted to be here for you guys. This seriously was a lot of fun. It never felt like work to me. Like, it was so much fun waking up every morning and knowing that, like, I was going to be talking to some awesome person on the podcast and to all of the great people in the chat. And it really was. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and be like, where is everyone?
It was very, very fun. You were so excited every morning to be talking to some awesome person or me. So,
yeah. So, and honestly, this season, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed this season. I think that we ended up with not the greatest winner in the world, but I think somebody that you can be happy for that they won. I think that it was kind of an ugly season at times, but there was still, you know, drama. There was still excitement. There was still great gameplay and terrible gameplay. I don't think we should look back at the season as a disappointment. Maybe it was a bit of a train wreck, but I think it was enjoyable enough, and I don't think it's anywhere near the bottom tier of seasons, at least not while I'm still close to it. So thank you everyone again. Do we have any ideas for a hashtag for tonight, the finale podcast? Did we talk about anything interesting or funny? I think it has to
do with something with Brent winning the draft or Brent
I have a good one. Okay. I have a good one, because I think that sound that you made on the Periscope, I think really encapsulates this entire evening. So I just think hashtag Brent sound is a really good one.
Okay. I can get behind that. Brent sound for the win.
So it's Brent sound FTW, maybe, I don't know.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Brent sounds, I think, is fine. If you're making Brent sounds, do hashtag
it should
Brent
probably
sounds.
Be like it, like in honor of victim noises, it should probably be Brent noises. I'm just saying.
Brent noises, but, yes.
Oh, yeah, Brent one. Noises, that's better. Yeah. That's Brent a good noises. One. Good workshop.
And I guess if you were unhappy with Brent noises, you can do like hashtag anti Brent noises.
Yeah, I see you, BB President and Steph. You all are traitors.
That's who I was referring to.
Yeah, I see them out there. I see all.
All right, well, do we have any final thoughts before we wrap this up, Brent or John?
I will just say really quickly that, John, it's been great podcasting with you tonight. You always bring a very, very analytical point of view to Big Brother. And I actually really loved your cult podcast that you did earlier in the season with Taryn. It was actually really illuminating to me to figure out why people were treating Paul the way they were and just generally how humans react to sort of like a dictatorship or a cult following. So that was very fun. Overall, the season was really a pleasure for me to podcast about. Obviously, I got the result that I wanted. In fact, I'm like overflowing with things that I got. But I'm not one to toot my horn too much, because I feel like you've heard enough of that from me already tonight. So I will just say that I'm really, really glad that a super fan, somebody who knew who Aika Wong was, won this season. That's really, really, really magical.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to echo what you said earlier, Taryn, and what you just said, Brent. It was so great to get to know you guys a little bit better. We had very few opportunities during like Big Brother Canada to talk a little bit, but I feel like I've really gotten to know you guys and a lot of the other people who've contributed. Watching Big Brother 19 kind of felt like a job from time to time, but doing the podcast has never felt like a job to me. It's always been a lot of fun. And even though I've never met any of you people in real life, I feel like you're my best friends.
Aww. All right. Well, there's still plenty of content headed your way, even though Big Brother is over. On the Taran show, I spoke with my American Ninja Warrior co-host, Lita Brillman. She also did a lot of these morning updates with me. This was a very important conversation, I think. Probably one of the deepest and intense conversations I think I've had on the show. So make sure you check this one out. It was very, very, very good, I think. We've also got Nick Iadanza, I believe is how you pronounce his last name, doing the Survivor, or the Australian Survivor coverage. He had some great extra interviews happening. Man, if you're not watching Survivor Australia, I don't know what you're doing with your life, because it's been amazing, and Nick has been doing a really great job covering it. He's such a natural with the podcasting. And we've, of course, got News AF headed on your way. Tyson Apostle, Danny Bryson, and Rob do a great job with all the News AF coverage. And we've got plenty of Survivor 35 cast interviews. I've really been enjoying these as well. Rob and Josh going over Josh's interviews when he was on Fiji, doing this stuff, giving commentary as they go along. We're going to be doing Ali and Ben as the next most recent interviews. And of course, you should check out the first one out series as well that I've been editing. That's been so much fun to do, and it's really more of a high concept version of Survivor preseason coverage. So
yeah, can I just ask really quickly, because I had not listened to it at all, because I wanted to, like, I got other things to do, to be honest, but I want to listen to it though before Survivor starts. So now that Big Brother's over, I was going to listen to it. Can you just quickly tell me in, like, say 10 or 15 seconds, what is that whole, like, thing about? I don't understand the title and what's happening during.
It's basically Serial. Like, you remember the podcast Serial that everyone's talking about? It's like that.
Okay.
It's narrated by Josh, but it's very, it feels like Linda Koenig, who's the host of Serial. And it's like he's trying to find out who the first one out is going to be. So it's extra interviews with the entire cast of the show, but it's also interviews with Jeff Probst. And some of the interviews with the cast, he's having them give, like, pre-season opinions about other players. So sometimes, like, Allie will be saying, like, oh, I think that Ben is doing this. I think he's going to be like this. And it's kind of, it feels like a mystery. Like, Taran has been doing a lot of fun stuff with editing and music. So, like, there's that fun little music beat that's going. It's like, who's going to be the first one out? It's like a mystery series.
That's very fun. I had no idea, Taran, that it was like that at all. I just thought it was, like, people, like, sort of just, I don't know, talking about, like, who do you think is going to be the first one? Who do you think? I mean, like, I really had no concept of what was happening. So that was an honest question from me. And I'm hoping that other people out there like me who have seen the title and heard other people talk about it, but haven't checked it out yet, will check it out, because that definitely makes me want to check it out.
It's the best thing that Josh Wigler has ever done, and I've listened to the Evolution Strategy.
Wow.
So,
okay, cool.
Yeah, and the editing has just been so much fun with it. I mean, like, as an editor doing a lot of podcasts, you rarely get to really, like, flex your creative muscles, and I've really enjoyed doing that. Again, I recommend you listen with headphones. It will enhance the experience for sure. And I also was playing it on my phone, and I had, like, silence trim on, and I was like, oh my God, what has it done to my baby? Don't listen at higher speeds. Don't turn on silence trimming. I know I'm, like, the biggest proponent of that, but the pauses are there for a reason.
I never ever use double speed or 1.5 speed anyway, so I'll listen to it for real.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us throughout the entire season and tonight and everything. This has just been so much fun, and we will see you next season. Bye.
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 All right. Cool.